The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who delivered the medical school cadavers to the alumni dinner? Every Halloween, the trees are filled with underwear. Every spring, the toilets explode.
You're talking about
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I state your name.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat. With liberty and fraternity for all.
Paul Perillo.
I won't go schizo, will I?
Is a distinct possibility.
And Andy. And Andy?
You guys up for a toga party?
Toga! Toga!
Andy Hart.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
Germans? Forget it, he's rolling.
Eric Scalavino.
7 years of college down the drain.
For now, anyway.
Okay, this guy is a real zero, that's true. Just think back when you guys were freshmen, huh? I myself was so obnoxious, the seniors used to beat me up once a week. So this guy is a total loser? Well, let me tell you the story of another loser.
PFW in Progress.
A stupid gesture be done on somebody's part. We're just the guys to do it.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Let's go! Come on!
Ah! All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Thursday here at Gillette Stadium, and the buzz continues. It starts to build as we get ready for the Houston Texans Sunday, 4:30. All kinds of people walking through the stadium today. I saw John Lynch earlier.
Were you okay?
I was
Did you
a little
hug
excited.
Him?
If I had something for him to sign, I would have brought it out to him.
And you didn't shave your chest, so your breast wasn't an option.
My breast? Yeah, people all over the place. You know, networks starting to show
up. The trucks
up.
Are out here.
People with cameras.
I like breasts.
It's exciting.
You know one of those stupid, quirky things I just noticed? You know the camera cart that drives up and down the sideline?
Yeah.
They have stacked spare tires on it. There's like this peg that sticks up. Like, I'm just envisioning like a pit stop, you know, one of them. Zzz, zzz. Oh, the camera's down.
We gotta... Hey, you know, the show must go on.
I need to look out for that. That's one of my new things to watch for.
You have to prepare for any type of scenario, I guess.
Very interesting.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. At about 12:20, we're going to have Nick Scherfield calling in from the Houston Texans website. He runs all their websites and publications over there.
Cool.
So he's going to call in, and we're going to talk some Houston Patriots matchup, get their perspective. He's sort of doing what we do for them.
Yeah.
So it'll be kind of cool to talk to him.
He's also got a lot more followers than we do.
Does he really?
On Twitter.
Really?
Significantly more.
Wow.
Everything's bigger in Texas, apparently, well, including his follower list.
Maybe you can ask him what is the key to his success. You know?
Paul, what are you doing over there?
Well, maybe his team actually acknowledges that he has a Twitter account.
I didn't get a chance to set up the picks stuff, so I'm writing down the lines for the games.
Oh, not the right results now. Of my perfect first.
Oh, no, I had no problems doing that.
No, I won the week.
Yeah, no.
What?
If this were golf and the lowest score won, yes, you won.
Yeah, I had a bad week.
It's a little foreshadowing.
Had a bad week. All right.
Then you had a bad week.
Mike Mularkey just announced about a couple hours ago that he has been dismissed as head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Good call.
Yeah.
Should have never been hired.
Well, I think isn't part of the, you know, you got the new owner and he kind of let him stay on for at least that year because he wasn't really.
No, he hired him.
Did he hire him?
Yeah.
I thought he came in before.
No,
him.
First year.
Oh, okay. I thought he had just
no,
come in just
no,
under
no,
the radar
no, no, no,
before
no.
he actually no. officially no. owned the team. No?
No?
Okay.
No.
Anyway.
So a guy who was selling the team hired a coach and then turned it over to somebody
else.
Well,
I think there was some. No. Some confusion there at the end, as I recall. Anyway, so he's gone. Probably, you know, Tim Tebow's in. We don't know for sure, but, you know, the rumors are that...
Wait, Tim Tebow's still a Jet.
No, I know, but they're talking to him as a Jet, like he's one and done.
No, I know, but he's still a Jet.
I know.
But
the rumors are that he's going to be going to Jacksonville. And so if you're a head coach coming in, you have to be willing to accept that. It's going to be a tough sell, I think.
Not really.
No?
I don't think you have to be
willing
to accept.
Well, you're going to get some guy who...
It's not dead certain he's going to be with the Jaguars. This new GM and whoever he hires as his coach are going to make that decision.
Oh, okay.
It's not like Tim Tebow's going to get there before the coach. It's not physically possible. He's a member of the Jets until the season runs out, right?
March, whatever March is, yeah.
So there's going to be a
Unless
new coach
before
that.
Unless the Jets trade him. They have a GM in place,
the
right?
The trading deadline has passed. I don't believe they can trade him.
Well, they could get something set up.
But you really think they're going to say, we're going to bring in Tim Tebow, and then we'll figure out who can be a coach? That makes no sense on any level. And if they do that, that's why you're the Jags. That's why you're a bunch of bums and you always...
I thought it was pretty much a, you know, taken for granted that Tebow's going to Jacksonville.
Okay, maybe.
Haven't you heard that?
Yes, I've heard a lot of things.
Okay.
I heard that Andy Reid was the coach of the Cardinals, except he wasn't. And then I heard he was going to be the coach of the Chargers, except he wasn't. I mean, there's a lot I hear. You know, Bill O'Brien was leaving, he was staying. Chip Kelly's leaving, he's staying. Brian Kelly's leaving, he's staying. I mean, there's a lot of rumors at this time.
I know.
And there's a lot of low-hanging fruit, as you put it. Obviously, Tim Tebow wants out of New York, so where's he going to land? In Jacksonville. Although, Vito Stellino has no interest in him. He's not a quarterback. If he wants to come play fullback for them, Vito Stellino's fine with it, I think.
Okay.
But to just say
and
that
Vito Stellino has the pulse down there.
Well, he has a pulse, I think. Well, although I guess that is questionable at this point. But I just don't think the way you're painting it, like Tebow's going to be there. Whoever interviews for head coach, just so you know, you have Tebow. I don't think that's how it's going to work.
I don't think so.
I think this is it Caldwell?
Yes.
Is that the guy, the new David Caldwell?
Yeah.
That GM will find a head coach, he'll interview him, and then they'll make that type of a decision. Unless it's a sham, a Shad Khan sham. If that's true, if he has decided, well, then Caldwell should have known that in the interview process, right?
Maybe he did.
Well, then the whole team is a sham.
Yeah.
Then who cares? They're irrelevant.
All right. So what are we talking about today? Patriots open locker rooms at about 1:15, I think.
Yes.
So they had open locker room yesterday, late afternoon.
Yes.
Very busy locker room. A lot of people coming in and out. Who spoke? We had... McCourty spoke. We had Gregory spoke.
Yep. Gregory, McCourty didn't speak.
Oh, I thought he had.
McCourty's today at a podium, I believe.
We're talking about today?
No, yesterday afternoon.
No.
Oh.
Locker room. You want to talk
in
about
the
it?
The locker room.
No. Ninkovich spoke yesterday.
Ninkovich spoke?
Yeah, but he's talking about the locker room. You want to talk about it?
Oh, no. I wasn't there.
Woodhead spoke.
Woody spoke.
To me.
And you spoke to him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very, very exclusive, entertaining, interesting 101. You can see tonight at 7:30 on Comcast. Oh, wait. Yeah, tonight at 7:30. No right. Celtics, right?
I don't know.
No, they played last night. Ninkovich spoke. I thought he wanted no part of hip talk. You know, he's moved on from that. It's about the Texans. Talked a little bit about, I thought it was an interesting storyline because somebody asked him, this place is known for Super Bowls, except... he went to one and lost it. He doesn't have any, rich history.
Right.
There's very few guys that have a rich Super Bowl history in New England.
That's correct.
And, we were joking yesterday when Mayo spoke. Somebody asked Mayo about, Brady's going to break Montana's record with his next win, and he's got this whole... And we were joking. In reality, to Mayo, Brady's 2-3 in the postseason. He's not this great postseason wonder. He's sub-500 in Mayo's career here
right.
in the postseason. So... As much as, yes, New England, Belichick, Brady win Super Bowls, there's not a whole hell of a lot after that that win Super Bowls.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
If you believe Ninkovich, that's a good thing. He got there, he tasted it, he's hungry, he wants to win a ring.
Right.
That there's a hunger there. And there's a hunger. Lloyd, Tlaib, they have these veteran guys who not only haven't been to a Super Bowl, have never played in the postseason. So you'd think they should all be very much hungry.
Yep.
And guys like Mankins, who... Their Super Bowl experiences are two embarrassments.
I think it's a good thing, and I think it's good that they're hungry and their ultimate leader has the experience, so he can sort of guide them.
Sure.
Yep.
I think it's a big advantage in this game.
Eric's here ruining the show.
By the way, I had an email exchange with Kevin
Uh-oh.
About the mics.
It's a brand new cable.
And I told him, I said, he said, no, everything's fixed. I said, well, what about every time Eric touches his mic? Oh, no, that hasn't happened in weeks.
It hadn't. It had been good the last
couple weeks. It just happened!
I know, but I knew that was going to happen today. It's a brand new cable, though.
Oh, I saw it.
I know, but it could be the connection,
okay.
Kevin. That's what I'm saying. We need to check the connections and maybe have them resoldered.
Okay. Resoldered.
It's a good word.
You have a soldering iron?
No, but
Doug does.
Doug Lane has one, and
because we did get some tweets saying you guys really need to listen to the podcast.
Right.
It's crackly.
Well, that's why I sent it to him, and okay. Of course he said nothing was wrong. It was...
he learned from Ferrero.
Yeah, I just talked to Chris. It sounded
and
fine.
They both agree with each other that there's nothing wrong. Nothing to see here. We're the best webmaster and internet radio producer in the AFC East.
Or then Kevin says, well, one of the things I can do is, like, when you guys are yelling, the volume goes way up. You know, I can ride the levels. Well, that's what you're supposed to be doing anyway.
Yeah, it's true.
The show took an ugly turn for Kevin real quick.
It's okay.
All because Eric touched his mic.
Well.
Eric, what do you got?
Good news again.
Everybody.
Everyone knew was there. And it's a beautiful day outside.
Now, were you guys surprised that, once again, the injury
stunned.
List was 20 people?
Yeah. I was stunned. Yeah. I really was.
And I also don't really get it. Like, if I'm the league, I'd start to get a little snippy. Every time they have these, like, 20-something guys that are...
Yeah, but I bet you every one of them have a legitimate injury.
I'll bet you the other 23 guys that aren't listed do, too.
Yeah. And I don't buy that they're all limited in practice, personally. I don't think they're missing reps. They're not taking every rep, but just because you don't take a rep doesn't mean you're limited.
Yeah.
They move. They rotate
so then
through.
Everybody is limited.
Exactly.
I would get to look at that and then see their game inactives when it's like 4 or 5 guys are healthy scratches who weren't among the 20 that are on that.
Right.
That would piss me off if I was the league. If I was David Stern-like commissioner, I would just hand out a fine and say, you know what you did. I'm not getting into it.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You got to have the proof of what did he do.
David
you
know, Stern doesn't. He seems to do whatever the hell he wants.
I know, but I'm sure that the Patriots feel that they're doing everything by the rules and, you know, whatever the loophole is that they found or they're taking advantage of or whatever. They're pointing out the ridiculousness of how this
Yeah, that
injury...
would piss me off.
Well, then do it right then. Figure it out.
Yeah, eliminate it. Moving on.
I would just say, I don't have as many problems with all these other coaches. Why are you poking me? You're fined.
Yeah, I was just surprised.
Goodell does that to players.
Usually...
Just flippantly fines
usually
them.
He flips the switch. When the playoffs come, there's very few guys that show up, if any. I mean, by the time the Super Bowl rolls around, there's none.
Maybe they forgot and accidentally sent out the wrong
Yeah, wouldn't ball. Be surprised. But yeah, I was. You asked the question initially. Were you surprised? I was, because generally that list goes down. Interesting thing. And I
went down from 21 to 20, though, Paul.
that's
a
good point.
Good, Eric. I was surprised too.
But Andy, I saw you retweeted from our buddy Field Yates.
Oh yeah, that was a good note.
Very interesting nugget. Patriots are the only team in football that still has all 22 of its opening day starters on the roster.
Edelman didn't start.
Nope.
No.
Oh, okay. I thought he was
because a lot of people actually asked him that.
Yeah.
And he said no, he didn't start.
Okay. Well, that is very interesting. It's a great nugget, and it just shows that, you know, the Patriots.
This is going to get entertaining, I think. I don't. You have that smirk of you're going to say
this is where I sit back and just wait.
No, it just shows that, you know, we looked at the team and, you know, throughout. Oh, Hernandez is hurt. Oh, Chandler Jones is hurt. But you know, they were able to manage that and have guys step up and keep winning despite that, and they've been lucky. They've been lucky that they haven't had the IR injury to any of the key guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have guys on IR, but they weren't any of the starting guys.
Not a lot.
Well, they have 6.
I don't know how many, but most of the, I mean, you know, guys like Will Allen.
Guys that I
IR.
Thought were playing for other teams.
Right. I mean,
IR, they've got, you know, Edelman, Stallworth, Dowling, Will Allen, Josh Barrett, Jeff Demps, Spencer Larson, your guy, fullback linebacker, Dane Fletcher, who was significant. Kyle Hicks, Jamie Richard, do you even remember him? Brad Herman.
So 11 guys.
You could have promised me $25 million to name that list. I wouldn't have got
so
half.
Basically you have Julian Edelman on IR.
Well, Razai Dowling. I mean,
how did they play?
He's never played for this team.
You know.
He's a myth.
And when he was healthy, he wasn't really playing all that much. He was healthy. Yeah. He was one game he was a healthy DNP. He was an active in uniform and didn't even play.
They've been
Julian Edelman is the only guy on that list that's of any value.
Have we gotten to the root of why they have so many of those this year, too?
What?
Active DNPs.
Well, I think part of it is what you're talking about with this whole list thing.
What?
They're not really limited? They're not really limited.
Well, and, yeah. No.
But in this has become it was a rare thing for a guy, you know, every roster is important day of game, and if you're healthy, you got to help us. And I mean, if you're active, you got to help us. And
oh, do you mean how many times that they've had a guy that's been
DNP.
Dressed
well,
and
like
didn't play?
Well, like
DNP.
Have they had
Talib,
a lot of those?
Right?
Yeah,
you're talking really? About like
this year and last year, it started to become this thing where you have DNPs.
Because I thought that Rasai Dowling one
DNPs,
was
he's in Baltimore now.
Rasai Dowling was kind of like Gary Guyton. Like I remembered him individually. Yeah, Gary Guyton was the first time I can remember that.
I feel like they've had more this year and last year than they've ever had before. And yeah. I want to
know
why.
You might, you might be right, because I know you look at a lot of that stuff.
Ooh,
when
can
you
I
put
drop
together,
some nuggets on people?
You
know, no, just
go ahead.
I did a Jake Beckett story this week. Did you know he's never played in the stadium? Played
really?
Three games, and they were all either in London or on the road. Huh. So he's never even gotten the blue jersey. Like,
did you
even
set the groundwork for writing his biography?
A little bit.
I mean, seriously.
Did you also know that of the
he just keeps going on.
26 defensive players who show up on the defensive stats, Jake Beckett not one of them, despite playing in three games. In fact, he doesn't show up anywhere on the stats.
Actually, didn't they wear the blue jerseys in Miami?
Oh, shut up. I don't know. You know what I mean.
So, yeah.
Don't be a douche.
What about the preseason? Do you count
shut that? Up, you. Eric's healthy. He's being
good.
A douche again.
Good,
I
Eric.
Like it, though.
Eric's getting better.
It's giving all a little right. Andy back to Andy.
But he's a third-round pick who actually played in three games, and you can't find any record. If you went back in 10 years, did he play? Where is he? He's not here.
Right. All the home games. Oh. Okay. What else we got?
The part that you were talking about off the top about
Junior
Patriots. Sayo.
What's that?
Junior Seau was the big news of the day nationally. Yeah. That, you know, they found the, what is it, CTE? CTE.
So we had some type of brain disease going on.
But I kind of agree with Ross Tucker. He played 20 years of inside linebacker in the NFL. I'd be stunned if he didn't have head issues.
Well, that's the thing. It's how many of these guys have
right.
It.
You need healthy ones, too. You need a guy who lives till he's 80 and no signs of depression or mental health issues, dies, and then study him and say, well, he has the exact same amount of CTE as Junior Seau, so what, you know, why were they different? Was it steroids? Was it drugs? Was it, you know, predisposition based on just who they are,
right.
Family history? So we're still just right at the tip of the iceberg on this whole evolution.
Well, and that's the thing, and we just can't jump to conclusions right now. We don't have enough evidence and empirical evidence.
And won't for a significant period of time.
Right.
I mean, they need to study, you know, I give them credit, because I had always wondered when they studied these brains, was it blind? It was blind. They had these multiple experts study three brains each, I guess, and each one got Seau to see, you know, to make sure they're not just
right.
Saying, yeah, he has it.
It's like a lineup.
Yeah. But, I mean, you're going to need thousands of healthy, not healthy, depressed, not depressed, suicide, no suicide, steroids, no steroids, drunk, not a drunk, you know,
right.
Millions.
Right. And it's something that's in its infancy.
Yeah.
It's going to be decades before we can get really clear conclusions
right.
about any of it. What else you got, Paul?
No, nothing.
You said there was something else that we were talking about at the top of the show before Andy cut you off with the Seau. Oh, never mind.
I'll get back to it.
All right, Web Radio.
I'm sure it wasn't important.
You're a blowhard. You'll get back to it, as Tony Mann.
Web Radio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. In a couple minutes, Nick Scherfield from the HoustonTexans.com is going to be calling in. He's in charge of all their website and publications, so he'll give us his take on what's going on down there.
He's you for the Texans?
I think so, yeah.
I think he's a lot younger.
Probably, yeah.
Well, so was Fred when he started.
That's true.
And they're an expansion team, so.
Yeah.
So
you really still think of them as an expansion team?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're a young team in NFL circles.
A decade in? You still consider them a...
Yeah.
When does it stop
becoming...
I still consider
the Jaguars and Panthers a young team.
I don't quite as much with them.
Yeah.
What about the Buccaneers and the Seahawks?
No. They're not young.
No.
Well, when does the cutoff?
I don't know, a-hole.
Paul's
really
just sitting there
the
thinking,
role.
I wish I was on the Felger and
Ash. He's playing the role of Andy today. Eric is just really...
Starting to clear up a little bit.
I mean, you're 40. If you see a girl who's 10, she's not young?
She's young, yeah.
Thank you.
Not for you.
Even for him, she's a little young. He makes sure they're 18. They're legal. He asks for ID. Unlike LT.
I just like the terminology, dismissed as Jaguars head coach. Yeah. Malarkey.
That was interesting.
Dismissed.
Did not make the move with them to Baltimore. That's how Bill Belichick was.
Did the bell ring and he was dismissed? Why
that terminology? Yeah. So it's a little less...
Well, the Eagles did a little bit of that with Reed. They didn't say directly fired. They said, you know, it's no longer going to continue as something. But,
terminated.
You know, I could see why with him, because he's, you know, there's a little bit of a respect factor there after a decade plus.
Yeah, I just think it's funny that they would, I don't know,
It's semantics.
I want to know why they're trying.
And everybody
to
knows what it is. He was fired.
It's like when people say passed away instead of died.
Yeah. Why don't they just say
not, it's the same?
Mike
thing.
Mularkey was fired. Andy Reid was fired. That's what
people
happened.
People get fired every day. You know, it's part
he
of life.
Let go.
Let go. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
Despite being the perfect Jag coach, he's no longer with him.
All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. I talked about Nick Scherfield from Texans.com calling in, and I've got him on the phone right now. Hey, Nick.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. So thanks for coming on. Now, are we on your website at this time as well, or is this? Are you going to use this later?
We're going to use this later. This is a one-way street right now with you guys.
Okay, so Nick, you
he can't
you,
put us on without checking first.
Yeah, I want to know who's listening at this time. But anyway, Nick, you run the Texans.com, and it's well also publications over there, right?
Yeah, I do the Texans team publications, our game programs, and things like that. But also, mainly HoustonTexans.com. I'm the lead writer there and do a lot of the social media for the Texans on Twitter at Houston Texans. And I'm also on Twitter myself at Nick Scherfield covering the team.
Okay, great. And so now you've just hired Dan Shaughnessy as a freelancer, is that right? Do you know what I'm talking about there?
I don't know if that's going to be happening anytime soon, but it would certainly generate a lot of page views, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, up here he's kind of looked on as a joke, even though he's been around for decades. I don't know. What did you guys think about that whole thing?
That's kind of the gist of what I got when I read the column. It was pretty clear to me that it was written by somebody who probably hadn't watched a full Texans game ever, especially getting Colin Reliant Stadium, Reliant Field, among other things in the column. And, you know, I was directed towards the column from a lot of people on Twitter sending links to me saying, have you seen this? This has got to be bulletin board material. You've got to show this to the players, yada, yada, yada. And I saw that Sunday and Monday, and I didn't really care to repost the link. It seemed like somebody that was trying to stir the pot, you know, and that's probably his job, so more power to him. But obviously, I think he succeeded in what he was trying to do because it got a lot of attention, and everybody knows that Arian Foster is at least one of the players who saw it by changing his Twitter avatar to a few paragraphs from that column. I mean, you read some of the things that Shaughnessy says. You know, the Texans are, quote, a terrible team, a group of frauds, the worst 11-1 team in NFL history. I think he even called us tomato cans at one point.
Right,
you
that's
know.
His line, yeah. So,
which I don't really understand what he meant by that exactly. But anyway, you know, obviously Arian Foster caught wind of it. I'm sure some other players have seen it as well. And, you know, it's not like they're lacking for motivation. I've seen people say they should be motivated anyway by, you know, the game they had last time where they lost 42-14. They're plenty motivated for this game. But, you know, I think that's just one other thing the players are going to see. They know it's not coming from the Patriots or Bill Belichick or, you know, any of the players who are going to say nothing but respectful things and have said nothing but respectful things about the Texans this week. But maybe it's just a little more fuel to the fire. If nothing else, I think Arian Foster might have just thought it was funny. You know, he's not averse to making light of situations on Twitter and you know, going a little bit out there on a limb on Twitter. So that could just be what he was doing. But obviously some of the players have seen it, and they know what at least one person from Boston thinks about the Texans.
Now, what kind of access do you get over there at Texans.com? I mean, obviously, I'm sure when there's an open locker room with other reporters, you guys are covering just like the other reporters. But do you get any other inside access that maybe the rest of the media don't get?
Yeah, you know, we do have the fortune. Our offices are here in Reliant Stadium. That's where the team facilities are. Everything's under one roof. So, you know, my desk is actually right by where all of our coaches are and our general manager, Rick Smith. So I get to interact with them. It's for better or worse sometimes, I guess. But I get to interact with them on a daily basis, and, you know, we'll be down in the locker room. We do get a little more access, but we'll see the players in the team cafeteria eating lunch and breakfast and things like that, you know, and we see them around the building probably a little more. It's especially more prevalent during the off season when no media is really here. We're here every day,
right,
and we see the guys who are coming in to work out.
Because, you know, I have to laugh because we're not allowed to look at them in the eye. So, you know, it's a lot different here. We get treated just like all the other media here. You know, you talk about eating in the cafeteria. If we even got seen walking in there, we would literally be shot. There's a guy in a crow's nest with, you know.
We don't even know where the coach's offices are. And we're in the same building.
So having that access, tell us, you know, what the mindset is of the players there. You know, there's all this talk about, you know, how much that last game meant, and there's too much talk about that. How much are the are the Texans using that as motivation going into this game?
Well, you know, we talked to Andre Johnson in the locker room yesterday, the Texans, of course, Pro Bowl wide receiver, and, you know, he was asked about that game. You know, Coach Gary Kubiak said yesterday that that game seems like it was about 2 years ago, not a month ago, but, you know, the media asked Andre Johnson the same thing. He said, no, doesn't feel like to him that it was 2 years ago. It's pretty fresh in his mind. But at the same time, what Andre said is that it was a butt-whooping. The Texans got it handed to them. They're not running away from that, but it happened, and they've moved on. And what happened in that game has no bearing whatsoever on what's going to happen in this game as far as they're concerned. And Belichick and the Patriots have said the same thing. You know, each game writes its own story and things like that. So, you know, they've learned some things from that game. You know, J.J. Watt said there are certain things he was telling us yesterday. There's certain things you can learn from it, of course, you know, as far as one-on-one matchups and different personnel groupings they like to use. But they know that it could be a completely different game this time around. The Texans think they were a lot better team than what they showed in that game against the Patriots. And, you know, the body of work that they had over the rest of the season, I think, would show that as well. They were one of two teams in the NFL to be top 10 in offense and defense in the regular season. And, you know, a very balanced team over the course of the year. So I think they're definitely stung when they had that game, but they put it behind them. They're focused on, you know, as they've said, just going 1-0 and winning this one-game matchup and keeping their season alive.
I'll be honest with you. We feel that if Matt Schaub doesn't rise up and play better than he has been playing lately, then the Texans don't have a chance. That, I'll be honest with you. That's how we feel. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about it that Matt Schaub has got to make some big plays in this game. He's got to raise his game. This is his second career playoff start. The first one was last week against Cincinnati, and he had a big mistake in the game, you know, throwing a pick six that Leon Hall took in for an easy touchdown. It was the Bengals' only touchdown of the game. But aside from that, Schaub was pretty sharp in the game. I know that's a big aside from that, but, you know, he was reading things underneath really well. He was making some throws in the very tight windows, and the Texans have a world of confidence in him. You know, I talked to him at length last year, this time of the year in the playoffs, when the Texans were getting ready to go to Baltimore for a game, and Schaub was on the sideline. He had a broken right foot, a Liz Frank injury that forced him to miss the Texans' last six games in their playoff run. And he said, you know, as of a couple weeks ago, the thought of having to watch the team on his first playoff run last year after all the work he had put in with his team is really what drove him every day throughout this season, throughout the offseason when he was doing his rehab. You know, he's been waiting a long time. He's in his ninth year. He's been waiting a long time for this kind of moment. And the Texans and his teammates are very confident, and the coaching staff, that he'll rise to the challenge. You know, for all the criticism that he's endured, for, you know, for how spotty his play may have been over the last 3 or 4 weeks, this is still a guy who ranked fourth in the AFC in passer rating this year, still a guy who's 6-2 in his last 8 road starts, you know, a guy who's lost, you know, what is it, 7 games over the last 2 seasons combined. So he's played very well and very efficiently on the whole, but in crunch time right now, this is when he's got to step up, and if he has a big game, I think that'll brush off a lot of his critics. That'll get him a lot of the respect that a lot of his teammates think he's deserved for a while as one of the game's better quarterbacks. This is the type of stage where he has a chance to do it, and this is the type of game where he's going to have to do it.
All right, so another thing that I feel personally, and maybe these guys share it, I don't know, Gary Kubiak. I think he needs to be more of an aggressive coach. What do you think about that?
Well, he got a lot of criticism locally, people saying that maybe he's playing not to lose rather than to win. I saw Bill Belichick say yesterday that, you know, you don't win a war by digging yourself in a foxhole and sitting in it. You got to be aggressive. Kubiak has shown that he's been plenty aggressive. You know, there were a lot of boos here at Reliance Stadium during their win over the Bengals in the wild card round when the Texans had 4th-and-1 or 4th-and-2, and they opted to go for field goals or punt the ball instead. And, you know, I understand the fans were frustrated that the Texans' offense wasn't producing better in the red zone. They're not scoring more touchdowns. But, you know, he was playing that game, I think, exactly how he should have. The defense was dominating the Bengals in that game. There was no sense in giving them, you know, any more opportunities than they were going to have. And, you know, you had to take the points when you can get them. And the Texans won the game. So to me, overall, it's hard to argue with what Kubiak did with the fact that they beat the Bengals. But, you know, he's going to have to be aggressive. He's shown aggression. You know, I point to, you know, it's one example, but late in the game against the Bengals, they're trying to run out the clock. Everybody knew the Texans were running the ball. They needed one more first down to really ice the game. And it's 3rd-and-2, and instead of handing the ball off, they run a play-action pass with Matt Schaub, and he throws it over the middle for a 7-yard gain to Garrett Graham, the tight end, for a first down, and that ices the game. I mean, a play like that, you know, is a small example, but it shows that Kubiak, I think he knows when he needs to be aggressive. He knows that the Texans can't settle for 3 points against the Patriots. The whole team knows that. That's been an emphasis ever since Saturday, that they're going to have to score sevens instead of threes. Matt Schaub said that yesterday. And, you know, I think back to the last Patriots game. They didn't have any success on offense in the first half, but they got inside the 40-yard line 2 times in that second quarter, and they went for it on fourth down both times. They just weren't able to convert. So I think you're going to see Kubiak be aggressive, but picking his spots. But he's not afraid to say that he knows his defense is that good that he maybe doesn't have to take as many chances as he would otherwise. But against the Patriots, I think you're going to see the level of aggression necessarily take a step forward with as potent of an offense as they have.
All right, so you're going to be replaying this on your website. So do you have any questions for us? You're here with Paul Perillo, Eric Scalavino, and Andy Hart from Patriots Football Weekly. What do you got for us?
Well, you know, a question that we're not going to hear anything about from Bill Belichick this week. We asked him about Rob Gronkowski, but how's Rob Gronkowski doing? How effective do you guys expect him to be in this game? We know he came back for the last regular season game and seemed to be still dealing with that injury a little bit. What's his status, and what kind of factor do you think he's going to be on Sunday?
I think he's going to be a huge factor. I think he was sort of babying the arm in the regular season finale, and I personally, we've debated this here on our show a little bit. I personally think it was a mental thing. He had gone 6 weeks without contact. Even though he'd been practicing, they hadn't been in pads, and it was simply catching passes, and I think you saw that in the game. When he caught the ball, he looked like the old Rob Gronkowski, pretty natural, had a touchdown. When he went to block, he kind of just used the right side and kind of babied that left side. I think you're going to see an advancement in his blocking. I don't expect it to return to its, you know, all-pro level, because he did miss 6 weeks. He wasn't able to work out with a broken arm. But I think you're going to see a more well-rounded Rob Gronkowski, and I think that's obviously something that the Texans are going to have to deal with.
And I'm interested to see if they use him to try to block J.J. Watt, because in that last game, Watt was, you know, virtually unstoppable, and that was without Gronkowski. And we know Gronkowski's one of the best run-blocking tight ends in the game, too. But I'm interested to see if they use him, if he's over that mental hurdle, as Andy said, if they use him to try to limit,
help out
with, yeah, with Watt, because he was the biggest factor for the Texans' defense in that last game.
Okay.
Well, another question I have for you guys. Arian Foster, 140 rushing yards in this last game. He's got 425 rushing yards in 3 career playoff games. That's the most by any player ever in their first 3 playoff games. How do you see the Patriots had success against him last time? How do you see them trying to slow him down again? How do you like their chances against Foster and the Texans' running game in this matchup?
Yeah, I think that's the strength of the Patriots' defense, is run defense. I think you need to throw on them to score, and with very few exceptions, teams haven't really been able to run the ball, particularly when that's what the Patriots' focus is defensively. The guys that have had success have been guys like C.J. Spiller, who, you know, Buffalo has sort of spread it out and run the ball out of passing sets. Houston makes no bones about the fact that they want to run the ball, and I would expect to see maybe more yards if the game is closer. I think the yards were down for Foster in the first game because of the score. And if the game is tighter, then I would expect to see his production be a little bit greater, but I don't think the Texans can win the ball by running Arian Foster exclusively in this game.
The one thing I would say to that is I am a little concerned about Rob Ninkovich's health, the other Rob on the other side of the ball. The hip injury that he suffered in the finale, he's back practicing and he's moved on past it, but, you know, he's been a key force for them up front, setting the edge and as a pass rusher. And if he's, you know, limited, if he's only 70%, I wonder, you know, how he'll be able to play against the run. And if the game is close, as Paul said, I think you guys will see more running attempts. As, you know, Gerard Mayo said it yesterday, he thinks the biggest reason that they stopped the run is because the game got out of hand and Houston really couldn't run the way it wanted to anymore. So I think that's an issue to keep an eye on, is Ninkovich's health there kind of setting the edge.
Mm-hmm. Well, one more question for you guys. I mean, it's no secret the Patriots are heavy favorites in this game with the way the last one played out, especially on everybody's mind. The Texans, a lot of players said yesterday, they embrace that underdog role. J.J. Watt said he loves people telling him he can't do something and then going and proving them wrong. How are the Patriots handling? I mean, it's not an unfamiliar position for them, but how are they handling, you know, the way this game is shaping up as far as everyone is expecting them, it seems like, to walk all over the Texans.
Well, if you ask them, they probably will tell you they're the underdogs.
Of course.
That's the way they do it here.
Texans are a great team. They do a lot of things well.
Right. I don't think they're thinking that this week.
And Gerard Mayo actually said
the underdogs.
Gerard Mayo actually said that the Texans have won a postseason game. We haven't done that yet. We need to prove
that's
that.
That's our ship.
So they believe that, you know, they haven't done something that the Texans have already proven by winning on Wild Card weekend.
They can
convince themselves of anything at any time, and it all comes back from the old guys. It's been passed down from Willie McGinnis and Rodney Harrison. Those guys have passed it down to Vince Wilfork and Tom Brady and Gerard Mayo. So they will believe they're being disrespected on Sunday somehow, some way.
Yeah, they'll figure it out. But, you know, it's amazing how they handle each of these weeks. You know, they really put a walls, you know, between each week, and nothing that happened last week has anything to do with this week. Certainly 6 weeks ago has nothing to do with this week. Now, Bill will bring it up, Belichick. He'll bring it up and remind them that, you know, if they lost bad to a team, oh, you know, remember the last time they played it. But he'll never bring it up if they beat a team.
It's interesting, too, that they say that the past has nothing to do with the present. Well, then why do you watch so much film?
Right.
Because film is about everything that happened in the past.
Right. But they are so good here, Nick, at, you know, what they say to the media. It's unbelievable. It's boring, but it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I sat through Belichick's conference call yesterday where he seemed like just about every single player on the Texans roster, offense, defense, and special teams, saying how well they played and how much he thought
right,
of them.
Right, because if he leaves one out, then he's afraid it's going to be bulletin board material. You know. By the way, I'll leave you with one thing, Nick, and you can bring this back. You know, obviously the Texans' D is known as one of their strengths, but did you know that both teams have given up the same amount of points this season?
I did know that. Tied for ninth in the league in scoring. Was it 20.7 points a game, I think it was?
Something like that, 331 total. So I think that if both teams are playing at their best, I think this could be it's obviously going to be a lot closer than it was the last time. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting you say that, because somebody pointed that out to me earlier in the week. You don't hear much about the Patriots' defense, and they gave up a lot of yards, but the most important stat is the points, and they're right there even with the Texans. I think on the other end, you know, a lot of people wouldn't expect that the Texans are a top 10 scoring offense. I think they're eighth in the league in scoring, and they were second in the league in scoring, you know, before they went into that Patriots game and lost 42-14.
Right.
And then some things kind of fell apart in the last quarter of the season there. But it's as much as the Patriots, I think, get overlooked on defense, this Texans offense, when they're rolling, very potent offense with Andre Johnson, with Matt Schaub, when he's hot, he can throw it just about as well as anybody in the league. So I think, like you said, on both sides, both of these teams, their strengths match up pretty well with each other, and it could be a very close game if both these teams are playing on top of their game.
I really agree with that last part that you said, Nick, and that's what I almost wish that they didn't have that previous game, because I do think the strengths of each of these teams really match up well against each other, and I would really like to see it. And I know that the numbers say that. I just don't think the Texans, and I'm not like Fred, I don't think the game's going to be closer than it was last time. And the reason is not because I think that Houston's not very good. I think they are excellent. I just don't think they're playing excellent right now. And I wish this game was played about 5 weeks ago for these stakes before we saw what happened in that game, because I really think the Texans were clicking, and now I'm not sure they are. But
yeah, I've got to disagree. I mean, obviously, I think it's going to be a closer game. I might be a little bit biased from covering the Texans and being around them every day, but I really do think this team found a little bit of its swagger in the game against the Bengals. And yeah, they only won by 6 points, and they struggled in the red zone, but a lot of players said that it felt like the Bulls on Parade, the nickname of their defense, it felt like the Bulls on Parade again, and it looked like it when you watched them, the way they manhandled the Bengals offense on the field, and they got back to running the ball, establishing, you know, controlling the line of scrimmage. If they can get back to anything similar to that, it should be much closer. But the key thing, they know they can't make big mistakes, and, you know, they've got to capitalize on their opportunities, because they saw, and everybody that was watching that Monday Night Football game saw, if you give Tom Brady and the Patriots any more opportunities than they already have, if you don't, you know, fall on fumbles inside the red zone, or if you extend drives with penalties on third down, they're going to jump all over you, and all of a sudden you're going to be down 21-0, 28-0, and you're going to be packing your bags and going home for the season. So they know they've got to capitalize on their opportunities more. I think they'll come out with a much better showing in this game.
All right, Nick, thanks so much for joining us. You know, don't be a stranger anytime. And, you know, good luck. Not that much luck, but you know, have a good game on Sunday, and we'll be in touch.
My pleasure, guys. Hope to see you up in the press box, and hope to get some more of the clam chowder up there. It was excellent last time.
Absolutely. That'll be on display. There. All right.
Thanks, Nick.
Nick Skirfield from HoustonTexans.com. Thanks for joining us. Food's here. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of the smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'. The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
Have you ever had a lobster bisque?
I have not.
You don't know from soup, then, if you haven't had one.
You don't know from soup.
You don't know from
is
soup.
Is it a soup? Every once in a while, it turns into that 1955 character.
Lobster bisque.
Then why isn't it called lobster soup?
But you have a good lobster biscuit just...
Because is a stew a soup, or is
no
it a stew?
No soup for you.
It's like sex for your
is
throat.
Is a chowder a soup? Eric already has sex for his throat.
Fred, why do you do this?
I had nothing to do with you.
Yes, you did.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
I love all right. how that follows up the reminder of the warning or whatever we play.
Thanks again for to Nick Scherfield from HoustonTexans.com for joining us in that last segment.
I want to congratulate great you for moment not right doing there. That when he was on the air. That made me feel a little bit better about what he think of us. Yet.
Well, I only do that with family.
Plus, you didn't stop talking long enough to burp.
Well, I was long talking.
Yes.
I was just asking questions, that's all. Trying to keep an interview going. You know, you guys had no interest.
I tried like 3 times and you wouldn't let me get in. Oh, so I just said, okay, Fred's running this show.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Let's go to the phone lines where Jeff in Vegas has been holding on for about, 2 days. Hey, Jeff.
42 minutes and 9 seconds. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, that Nick dude was a good guess, and I thought a particularly good point by Eric Scalavito, as in Vito Stellino.
Not funny.
Pointing out the,
not funny at
the
all.
Film, the film study paradox. That's interesting. They all say how it has no impact, and that's all they're doing is studying the film. So, not so fast, Eric. I'm actually giving you a compliment.
Yeah, I know. No, I knew that.
Undeserved as it, or infrequent as they may be.
Undeserved was right.
and infrequent. If anyone wants a good laugh out there, I texted a picture. I was at the gym with a Brady cutoff shirt and my Patriots hat getting lots of dirty looks. So if you want a good laugh, look at the picture on at JeffVegas12 on Twitter. You can see my flabby physique.
Wait a minute. You had a cutoff shirt on?
Like it's a Brady replica jersey, like an old one, like the silver one that you know they never wear. So
yeah, I don't care about that. Where's it cut and why?
Oh, just sleeves cut off.
Oh, okay.
Can get a good,
I thought you were showing your midriff like a, you know.
No, not a half shirt back in the days of the Fred Kirsch. Maybe, I know he had that onesie wrestling outfit. Maybe he also wore half shirts with a little, hair in the belly button, if you will.
Did you used to wear those, Fred?
Sorry.
I used to have the old Nebraska breakaway jerseys that they used to wear. By the end of the game, they'd be in shreds.
Exactly. Speaking of which, it was sorry to see Earl Campbell. If that was an improvement when they wheeled him out on crutches, whatever playoff game that was, speaking of breakaway jerseys, I don't know if your guys' minds can follow that.
Yes.
I saw Earl Campbell during halftime or some ceremony. Anyway.
Yeah, he was the honorary captain of the Texans game, I believe.
Yes.
Last week. Right?
Over to the overconfidence of Patriots fans. I also tweeted out, I disagree with Paul Perillo. I think this is the National Football League. I think it's hard to blow a team off the field twice. I think this 10 points or 9.5 is going to be tough for New England to cover. But all these idiot New England fans that already have us in the Super Bowl, or that guy the other day is like, oh, yeah, he's already making his reservations for New Orleans. I mean, let's slow down. Let's, one game at a time, as we say, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Last thing, not to contradict myself, jumping ahead to Denver.
No, that was funny.
Are Denver's receivers really making plays? Manning just throwing them open. How good are Decker and Thomas of a year they have it?
Thomas is way better than I ever gave him credit for. Decker, I think, is a guy. I think he's just a guy that's kind of Manning is making. He's part of the offense, part of that attack. But Demaryius Thomas is turning into a far better receiver than I thought he was. I thought he was just a run deep, run under the ball, you know, option guy. And he was for a while. But now he's taking the next step. And I'm sorry, I don't poo-poo 1,400 yards and the plays he's making.
In an odd way, too, I think that he is proving that he's more than just a deep guy with Manning. Now, a lot of people would say, well, anybody would be great with Manning. And that's true. Manning would make – he made Pierre Garçon great and Austin Collie great. He made some stiffs pretty good. But if you're just a run deep guy and catch the ball, you have no use. Peyton Manning has no use for you in his offense. That's not – he's not interested in one guy who can only do one thing. Same with Tom. You know, if you're a one-trick pony, you don't have any room for you here. So the fact that he was able to – did he have 100 catches? I know he had like 1,500 yards.
Yeah, he did. You know, he was like 86, I think, high 80s.
That kind of production shows you that Manning has found some use for him.
All right, thanks for the call, Jeff in Vegas. Let's go to Alabama. Dwight. Hey, Dwight.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Roll Tide.
Shut up, Andy. I'm just sitting here waiting for my econ class to start, but on ESPN First Take today, they had some dude that makes predictions, and he's been like 94% correct and all this other crap. He had New England against the Seahawks in the Super Bowl.
Nice.
And he had New England winning by 15 points.
Nice.
And all this other stuff, I was like, we'll see what happens when it happens and all this other crap. But also, I called to let y'all know that it was some news reporter was talking about Chip Kelly in Oregon, staying back in Oregon instead of coming to the NFL. One of them said that possibly he's waiting for Bill Belichick to retire so he can get a job up there in New England. I just want your thoughts.
Yes, that has been a common, I won't even say rumor, just sort of
speculation
or thought, and I've heard it locally. I don't know what, you know, because the other common speculation is that Josh McDaniels is the coach in waiting and isn't really interested in interviewing because he's going to be here, blah, blah, blah. I think the Chip Kelly one is very interesting. I mean, he's obviously a New Hampshire guy. He's up from our friend VIP Stripper's way. And
He's also been here. He has some connection here.
I just don't buy it. I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, maybe he is, but if he is, I think he's just – I think the bigger issue is I don't think he's sure he's going to succeed in the NFL. I think he is a little unsure that everything he is about will work in the NFL and really wants to make sure if he takes one, it's going to be the perfect job. And until then, I'll just keep, you know, getting extensions and bumps in pay and that kind of thing.
I also think it's more likely that if there's a gentleman's agreement in place for the next coach, it would be with a guy who's already here.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Namely Josh, then a guy who's not yet here.
Fred, do you want to chime in?
Well, I don't think
if and when that decision is made, it's Robert Kraft's to make.
And I'm wholeheartedly with Fred on this one.
And also, I think that, you know, if you're Chip Kelly, do you want to follow a legend?
Certainly not if you have any concerns about whether you're going to make it as it is. And now to make it, you have to be 12 wins every year in, you know, fighting for Super Bowl every year. If you have a lack of confidence, you go somewhere where Buffalo, where if you win 11 games, you're God.
Maybe he doesn't have a lack of confidence, though.
Where you're going to come in with a team that can only go up, you're going to have a high draft pick.
Right.
You know, all that stuff.
But the other aspect of that is, and I've always heard and read in various rumors, speculation, that if Robert Kraft is in love with a college coach, his name is Urban Meyer, and that Urban Meyer might be the long-term college coach in waiting in New England. And so
the other part of the Chip Kelly thing is there was, and I don't remember the guy's name, but there was a reporter columnist from the Oregonian that started this.
Yeah.
And he wrote that after Chip Kelly decided he was going to stay, that he is certain, this columnist is certain, that Chip Kelly would only leave for the NFL for one job. His dream job is the Patriots job. So I'm not sure this is as much of a agreement about a coach in waiting situation like the rumors of Josh McDaniels as it is Chip Kelly saying, yeah, you know what? If I had an opportunity someday, the Patriots is the job that I would like. I don't think it's the same as the situation where people are kind of explaining it with Josh. And I don't think Josh, I agree with Fred. This is Robert Kraft's decision, not Bill Belichick's.
Very true, very true. Well, guys, I hope to see if y'all go to the Atlanta versus Patriots game later on. I will be there, and hopefully if y'all are there, I'd like to meet y'all.
All right, Dwight.
Look forward to it. Roll Tide.
Let's go to Auburn. Is that why you keep saying that?
No, he doesn't like either. He's from around here or something. Oh. He just gets mad because he's not a Tide fan, and I always say Roll Tide. Oh. Speaking of guys who are going to be mad at me, skip right to number three.
What's number three? Okay, let's go to Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
Christian.
Hey.
Are you okay? Guys. You healthy? Did you have any problems yesterday?
No, it was fine. Your mother showed up early.
Yes! Well done.
We shared some Honey Nut Cheerios.
Oh! Now you crossed the line. I'll be waiting outside your office later today.
I'm 229 Breakfast Street. Come on down.
Is that really your office? You gave that out on the air?
Yes, sir. Hi. I'm learning to hide.
He's a public servant.
That's true. Yeah. He doesn't, means right. He doesn't do
it's
any work.
It's not like he yelled at his home address. Right. He yelled at his office of the building he works.
Office.
We're at One Patriot Place. Anybody got a problem with that?
No, right? Yeah, but everybody knows that already. That's true. I haven't been beat up or shot at yet. So.
That'll come.
Yeah, thanks for planting that seed.
I wanted to talk quickly about sort of like Patriot Nation. And that guy that you had on was pretty good from Houston. And, you know, when all this run started with Brady and Belichick, it wasn't necessarily that we were happy to be there, but it was we embraced the underdog role, and we loved it when, you know, people didn't think that we could do it. Obviously, it's completely flipped the other way now. And I don't go into these games looking at them as, well, gee, you know, obviously I hope we can win. I expect to win. That's what success has done to me as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
I expect to win these games. Now, are we going to have hiccups? Sure. Super Bowls. And playoff games, you know, like Baltimore and, you know, the Jets. Yeah, obviously. But I don't – and somebody said this to me the other day, well, the team's totally different. The only people that are there now are Brady and Belichick and everybody else is different. Yeah, but the winning formula that is the most important in this game is coach and quarterback is still the same.
Yep.
And for me, you know, people say, well, what do you think about the game this week? I think we're going to win.
You think, oh, you're going to smoke them again, huh?
I didn't say that. I said, I think we're going to win. I have every right to think we're going to win. So I kind of get mad at that. You know, I don't want to be lumped in with the Patriots fans that, oh, we're going to smoke them, you know, and because we're Brady Belichick. No, I expect to win because that's what they have, you know, done
right.
to me, basically. And I expect that. And does that make sense, or am I just rambling?
That's where I am, too, Christian. You know, I still respect the Texans, but I – do believe some way, somehow, the Patriots will win the game.
I do, too. That guy actually kind of made me feel a little bit better because he said they got their swagger against Cincinnati.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Well, I would have bought it if they won the game like 30-10.
I would have bought it if they had touchdowns.
Yeah. I mean, like, Schaub was so efficient and effective that he scored one touchdown.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I don't care about the opponent.
Yeah.
If they had blistered Cincinnati, I would sit there and say, hey, you know what? They might have gotten some of their swagger back. As a matter of fact, I feel a little like that about Baltimore. And they weren't overly effective against the Colts either. But, I mean, they put 450 yards of offense up there. The defense was really strong in the red zone, which is their calling card. I felt like they a little bit more resembled themselves in their game than Houston did in winning theirs.
I agree with you. I think, Paul, I think you said this the other day. They found sort of who they are against Baltimore. I think they have.
I agree with you.
You know, I don't know if they're going to, you know.
That Giants game, I think, showed them, proved to them that they could still be that team if they put it together.
Yeah, and I
it's
think.
It's funny, though. It's all points. Like, I know it sounds stupid like that, but, like, you know, you say they put up 400. Well, when they were not scoring, they were putting up 400 yards. They just weren't scoring. Baltimore. And this week.
But they had 24
If they
points.
Had pumped. No, I know, but it's all about points. They were putting
up,
you know, against, what was it, San Diego, where they had like 8 million
and
yards
17
and no points.
Or something, yeah.
And for you, if you look at Houston, they played great on defense, and Arian Foster did his job. But it gets back to what we said. Matt Schaub couldn't finish it. And if literally he's two passes away from, yes, they actually do
look like now maybe they're rolling again. So it's this fine line, and it's what Bill always, you know, it is a fine line. It's
that gets
Schaub
back,
two throws.
And I use the Indyism when I talk about this. You know, Houston's struggling until they're not struggling anymore. And that's he's right. If you complete those two third down passes in the red zone, one of which I think Andre Johnson should have caught, by the way, then it's a totally different outlook in that game.
Because they're a team that wants to run the ball and play defense. Well, by the way, they ran the ball and they played defense. They just didn't get the passes.
Right. If they won 27-13 instead of 19-13, and that's two touchdowns, you add eight points.
That's the difference.
Then that's the difference.
Now
you're
right.
I mean, you can look at it so totally different,
so close.
Razor thin.
Right.
You can. Yep. And can I make a suggestion or kind of like a request?
Sure. Depends
Fred,
what it is.
You call into Felger and Mass and Paul's on there.
I've said that a thousand times.
We're trying to get that.
Please, I need you to call in. I used to love those crossover Fridays. Those were epic.
Well, Paul, can you give me the VIP number?
I can work on that.
Or just give him your and they'll call you.
Okay.
I'll get it.
Although you're right. I want you kind of. Calling in at the point.
Organically.
No, but when he's starting to boil, that's when I want him to start dialing and
calling. I knew yesterday was a little different when, first of all, my Twitter feed was off the charts.
It was blowing up.
And I went, after that, I did Comcast TV, so I was up in Burlington, and I did my normal thing, Andy.
He was a whore.
I got my Cheesecake Factory after the show. So I walk out.
A fat whore.
So
why do you have to? Do
because
he gets cheesecake because every time he goes to Comcast.
Because no one else eats dinner,
right?
But you don't need to
go to Cheesecake where they give you too big a portion and it's super high in calories. You could go somewhere else.
I had a burger.
You could get an Uno sat. Yeah, it was probably like a 1,300 calorie burger.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? That was what I had for dinner. You know, unfortunately, I ate dinner anyway. So I open the door and I'm leaving, and this guy's coming in. And he does a double take. He goes, "Hey, Paul Perillo, you the man. Don't take any of that crap from Felger." And I just got to go, "Thanks." And I just kept walking.
At Comcast?
No, this was at Cheesecake Factory.
Because, you know, you could have got at Comcast, too. A lot of people hate him there, too.
Let's go to Tiffany in Wisconsin. Hey,
no,
Tiffany.
This is some random guy I never met.
Hi, guys.
What's up?
Hey, girl.
Well, I have two reasons to call here. The first being... you know, the depression of 2012, I cannot get emotionally involved. I want Belichick and Brady to win, get another chance to win a Super Bowl, but I just can't do it because last year was just too devastating.
Now, can you live up to that? Like, if they go out and blow the Texans out, and then they have a big win over the Broncos in Denver, can you live up to that, or are you going to get wrapped up in the momentum of the moment?
God, I hope I'm just like Mello. Okay, we won. Now, let's just see
No, Tiffany, why not?
Enjoy it. It's like love.
Get wrapped up.
Unless you put, your heart.
I make iTunes playlist for our victory. Patriots victory won. Patriots, I've not listened to any of those. I'm telling you, I cannot do it until we to the last whistle in the Super Bowl and we're up. I can't.
But it's not going to be as sweet. You need to get invested.
I
know, but that's why it's going to be so great is if you get yourself invested in it, right?
No,
I mean, that's part
not.
Of it. You're jaded by the recent losses, and those were painful. I can understand that for you. But if you don't get into it, it's going to be anticlimactic. If you just wait till the game's over.
Tiffany, it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all.
Ask Eric. Yeah, he just left, but you could ask him. He's never loved.
I feel so bad for Belichick and Brady. And then to hear people say, you know, the Bills again. Here they, you know, I just think they deserve it.
They have won three and been to two others.
They're considered the greatest coach and arguably the greatest quarterback in NFL history. Yeah. I wouldn't lose too much sleep.
How'd you like being like Marty Schottenheimer?
I want them to get that one Super Bowl so we can shut up about that. What's his name? Gate.
What?
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, it would be nice to get that other Super Bowl since 2004.
But they've had great careers. They're not Marv Levy. Jim Kelly was driven to drink by his losing.
I think every year Brady could win MVP.
Yes.
And then now people are talking about Roger. You guys know I hate that guy. I'm in Wisconsin. He just needs another Super Bowl win. And if he doesn't, I just can't get ready for it.
Okay. Well, the second reason you called is your son, right?
Yes. Yes. Okay. He played in the game.
How'd it go? Wait, did you go? Did you go?
No, I didn't. I had an emergency with my aunt, so I couldn't go.
No, sorry to hear that.
Which is unfortunate, but my sister went in my place, He had 4 sacks.
Nice.
And
Who's your son again?
Jeremy Alexander.
Okay.
He played in the Semper Fi.
It's an All-Star Bowl. It was in L.A., you said?
Yeah, in L.A., the junior one.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm so mad because they didn't even realize that Ray Lewis's son was there, so he didn't get a chance to meet him.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Their game wasn't televised, which is enough. He was really upset about that because he was so proud of himself.
Right.
So he's got a tape coming. So I wanted to send it to you.
Yeah.
A copy of it.
Sure.
So you guys can see it.
Sure.
Andy will break it down.
I'm going to let Andy see your tape. He's all excited about that.
Now, did he enjoy the experience?
Yes.
That's pretty cool. I got to tell you, that's very cool.
And now he's been invited to camp with UCLA,
nice.
Notre Dame,
nice.
And I don't know who else.
That's pretty cool.
Hopefully, Alabama was there. Hopefully, if that's where he's going, if they invite him to, these are like invitational only camps.
So. Yeah, that's very cool. Well, congratulations to him, and tell him. We'll wait for that tape. We're watching and paying attention to his career.
Okay,
his rising career.
Great stuff.
Could you tell Kevin that I'm going to need the address? So I'll just call back.
Okay.
And get the address.
All right, okay.
Okay. Thanks,
Kevin.
Tiffany.
Will hook you up.
Tiffany in Wisconsin. Did you watch that high school all-star game on Saturday?
No.
I did. Army All-American game?
Yeah.
It was a good game.
I usually like to because
low scoring.
You see a lot of stars.
There was
out of
one kid from the West team who defensive end type, he's going to be good. I mean,
I remember Clowney
in the backfield, blocking kicks, doing everything.
Yeah, they did a great
Colt
job.
McCoy
on
was really good
the
in
promotions
that
of that game this year on ESPN. They did a great job of highlighting the Clowneys of
I
the
like
world
watching
that
those
have been in the recent ones. I'm not as much of a football fanatic. I can't watch it when I don't have like really any idea. There is amazing talent in that game.
Yeah,
but
well,
that's why I like it.
Yeah, I don't just watch it. I can't really get wrapped up into it. I mean, if I was just clicking around and I saw it, I probably would have stopped on it for a while,
right?
Just because for what Andy said.
Well, I like
guys that pop.
I wasn't like rushing home going, oh, I gotta get, you know.
Exactly.
No,
I know
I was
you
clicking
weren't. I know
around.
You weren't.
But it's
you
the best. Unlike when you watch
these
crappy bowl games where the best players don't go. All these college players don't go to these best bowl games. It's, you know, you might get 2 or 3 players.
Oh, you mean like
here.
The All-Star Bowl games?
The Senior Bowl, the NFLPA Bowl, the Texas First Nation Bowl.
I wouldn't watch any of those.
If they could actually get a bowl where you had all the draft, the actual draft, you know, the combine.
Right.
If everybody went to the combine later that week, played in a game, I'd watch that. Because now you're talking about the best of the best. And that's what this high school game is. I mean, you're watching guys who are going to go to Alabama and South Carolina and be stars.
Yeah.
Not all of them, but a lot of them are going to go to those places and be stars. I think it's fun to watch.
Yeah. Let's go to Doug in Southern Oregon. Hey, Doug.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Hey, I wanted to, you know, after listening to Tiffany's call, I mean, I'm kind of going into these playoffs like last year's playoffs just because of the fact that I have no qualms about our offense, but again, our defense is suspect. And my feeling is that our front seven is just as good, if not better, than they were last year. But the secondary, again, it's almost, you don't know who's going to show up. And I just kind of wanted to see what you guys had compared to last year's defense against this year's defense.
Depending on who's on the field, I think this year's defense is better. If we get Tlaib and Dennard back, if McCourty goes to safety, I think this unit is better. The other one caveat I want, I need to see Rob Ninkovich play. I still have my doubts with how bad he looked when he limped off. You need, because he's a key force on that front. If he's back, I think they can be better. I think the linebackers are better. They're healthy. You know, Spikes has basically been healthy all year. Mayo's been healthy all year. And I think Hightower is obviously better than starting Tracy White in a Super Bowl. But to me, it all depends on who's playing corner and what the secondary looks like.
You know, I saw an interview where Mayo had said something about Ninkovich helping him out so much with the communication. Can you touch on that?
I didn't see that, but I'm not surprised. Rob Ninkovich is he was a linebacker. And he's played linebacker and defensive end this year, so he sees and knows everything on that defense. And he's obviously a very smart guy when you talk to him about defenses and what's going on. So I'm not surprised to hear that. I think they have a lot of guys that football-wise are very smart up there. I think Spikes, Hightower, Mayo are all very heady football players in terms of football. I don't think that, you know, don't look into Spikes's Twitter account and think he's going to be, you know,
Rhodes Scholar.
Yeah, whatever. But on the football field, the guy's played and seen a lot of football, and I think he's a football kind of guy that can diagnose and really, you know, his instincts, obviously, we know are very good. But I think they have a lot of heady guys up there. It's not surprising to me that Ninkovich is helping in that area.
Yeah. If you were to put a guess on it, what kind of percentage would you think Ninkovich is going to be playing this weekend? I mean, as far as not being 100%.
No idea. I mean, until I see him. Until I see him, I'll have no idea. I mean, the way he walked off the field, I would have said he's going to be a low percentage. But, you know, the fact that he got back out there a few days later for bye week practices, that increases the percentage. But, you know, as we saw with Gronkowski, there's a difference between playing and practicing, you know, non-contact practicing.
Nobody has seen him other than in just warm-up exercises as far as practicing.
Right. Yep.
There's no way to know.
You need to rent a helicopter and circle over the practice fields at practice time and make sure you have a parachute because they're going to shoot you down.
Right. All right, Doug.
All right, go Pat.
Okay.
That's Doug.
Doug from
Chip Kelly country.
Southern Oregon.
You joked around about shooting down the helicopter. Well, you know, we talked, Freddie said at the beginning, John Lynch is here today with the Fox crew for the pregame show. And so there's a lot of Fox people down around the television studios here, the KSP area. And one of the guys is like, so when you go out to shoot practice, dumb question, but do you need a vest or anything? So I go, by vest, do you mean bulletproof?
Good ball.
Just reminded me of that when you said, you know, have a parachute because they will shoot you down.
I wasn't really kidding.
I want to thank Enterasys Networks for once again providing lunch for us from Red Robin.
Red Robin.
Thanks a lot.
Thank
yummy.
You
over there.
Thank you very much.
Enterasys.
Hit the spot. And by the spot, I mean our fat bellies.
Well, I thought it was like the hot spot for the wireless.
Oh, I see what you did there.
I tell you, if you want to follow somebody on Twitter who, and, you know.
Nick Kerfield. Everybody else is doing it.
If you want to follow for like business acumen for, you know, someone who's plugged in with all the latest tech. Surveys
Fred
and
Kirsch.
Reports and how to manage and all that.
All right, spit it out.
Vala Afsar from Enterasys.
How would I find that?
ValaAfsar. He's got like a couple hundred thousand followers, but he's prolific. He tweets like.
Would I get it though? Because I'm into technology, but not the super geeky kind like you.
No. This
like,
is more like
when you rattled off his wireless problem at home.
Yeah.
All the 280G or whatever the, you know,
I'm into gadgets and that kind of technology.
It's more management principles and things like that.
Okay, sorry.
But thanks again, Enterasys, for lunch.
You need to read some emails because you're going to the phone a lot and this ticks off our emailers.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
It does. They get mad.
I know. Matt writes in from San Diego State. I went behind enemy lines yesterday and listened to a bunch of Houston Texans web radio content.
That was probably Nick.
I discovered just the sort of disrespect Fred was sure we were going to receive. The Texans were trying to lull us into a false sense of security by calling Devin McCourty an excellent safety. They completely disrespected our running backs by raving extensively about how many threats we have in the receiving game. They even had the nerve to go on at length about how great a coach Bill Belichick is and how even if they get knocked out, this game will be a successful season for them. No respect.
And on the serious side, that's why I give the Texans no chance. I think that's how they feel. I think they feel they're going up here to play a great team, and if we lose, we have nothing to be ashamed about. It's been a great season, and that's why I give them 0% chance to win the game.
David writes in, I just listened to your podcast from yesterday. Tell Andy to wear a space diaper, then he doesn't have to leave his car or the studio.
You're like that woman that was driving across country, right?
A space diaper?
I guess.
Yeah, the astronauts.
The ones
wear those
the astronauts,
things.
Yeah. Up in NASA.
I didn't know they.
There was a story about that, Fred. You must remember it. There was a woman.
No, I remember that.
Kidnapped someone or whatever, and
no,
she was in the
that.
Car. She had the astronaut
That's
diaper.
That's right. Astronaut that.
I thought they had a potty and it just sucked it out.
Well, they eventually do, but I don't think they can get to it all the time.
Oh.
You think Ray Lewis ever lost a playoff game and said, well, it's been a great year?
Right.
You know what I mean? You think Tom Brady says, you know what? We had a damn good year.
No.
It's okay. We lost.
You have to duck because he's throwing a bottle at you.
I mean, we lost to Peyton Manning in the AFC Championship, but you know what? Peyton Manning's pretty good. We had a good year. That's why and I'm not saying that for sure that that's the way that Houston's feeling. That's just my impression of how Houston's feeling. And I think teams like that happy to be here. They almost never advance beyond where they should advance.
But that's one of those Fred Kirsch things where we, and in all aspects, we can't judge it until later. Like,
no, I know. Maybe they don't feel like that.
Eli Manning became Eli Manning by beating the Patriots and by making comebacks. And, you know, Tom Coughlin elevated his resume by beating the Patriots and outwitting Bill Belichick. And, you know, we could look back and say, oh, Texans weren't just happy to be there. They came and took it in. And, you know, Matt Schaub proved himself a playmaker when it was the most important time.
Well, yeah.
You know, he allowed them to play conservatively the week before because they didn't really need or whatever. Like, it's one of those stories that, you know, you kind of see it later as, you know, Matt Ryan. Yeah,
and that's
is
why
in the
I
same
said
position.
That's how I feel. I'm
Matt
not
Ryan's
saying
a
for
Jag
sure that
quarterback.
I think Atlanta's happy
numbers.
To be there. Now, this year they won't be. But I think that's Atlanta's been guilty of that.
So it's one
in
of those
past.
Things
think,
that, yes,
I
that's
think.
True until I prove it wrong. So, I mean, there's no way you can argue against that until you do it. You prove it wrong on the field.
Right. Nathan in Southern California, what do you guys think about the Texans' adjustments for this weekend? I can't believe that they would just keep their game plan as the same as last time. So what do you think they'll do? It seems like their best strategy is to pass to set up the run rather than to run to set up the pass. That was effective for both the Ravens and the Niners this season, and I'm surprised that more teams haven't tried that. Lastly, how do you think our offensive line is going to do? They often struggle with one-on-one matchups in playoff games, enabling the opposing defense to flood the field with defensive backs. I'm so nervous for this game. I really think the Texans are being overlooked and disrespected. Fred, talk me off the ledge. They're not being disrespected and overlooked within the walls of Gillette Stadium, so don't worry about that. The Patriots
how do you know that?
Look, the Patriots know these players aren't disrespecting the Texans.
But how do you know that?
I know.
That's what I'm saying.
Because that's,
don't go by what they're saying.
I know.
How do you know what they're thinking?
Because this is the history of this team in the last decade. They don't do
right.
that.
So when Brandon Spike said that we took the Jets lightly in 2010.
Yeah. They.
No, we don't talk about that game, Paul.
Right?
You know, the Texans got off to a slow start. It snowballed, and they never could get back into it. It's happened to the Patriots. It's happened to the Patriots. So, you know, and could that happen again to either team? Yeah, but I doubt it. I really think that, you know, you're not going to see all the roles go the Patriots' way and, you know, ball squirting out of Danny Woodhead's hands into Brandon Lloyd's in the end zone.
Well, it didn't really squirt out.
Well, it got knocked
out. Punched
out. Right, by J.J. Watt. But, you know, I just think that I don't think the Texans, in other words, have to really change their game plan radically. I think they just need to execute what they want to do better.
Well, and like we said, I do think they could do a better job of and one of the reporters asked Mayo or Ninkovich this yesterday, you know, does play action really have to, you know, start with the run? You know, couldn't they just come out and run play it? Yes, but it starts with the run. Even if it's not in this game, they're a running team. They've established the run over the course of the
like
previous
17
games.
If Andy Reid opens up next season with a play-action pass, it's probably not going to work.
Right.
Because Andy Reid hasn't run the ball in 14
whereas
years.
Whereas Adrian Peterson, it works because Adrian Peterson's great. They've established the run. It's not in that game. It's not like you have to run seven times, and then on the eighth time, they'll buy the play-action
right.
fake. It's the mentality and the track record of the team.
Yeah.
But I do think they can pass to set up the run.
It's like the Alabama game. I mean, you know, Notre Dame had to – now, they couldn't stop the run, but they were so keyed on that run that McCarron could do whatever he wanted, you know?
Well, they were just overmatched.
Now, yeah, I mean, they could do whatever they wanted by having McCarron hand the ball off to Lacy, too.
Right.
I don't think they have to change a tremendous amount offensively game plan-wise. I agree with Andy. I think they'd be better served to maybe pass on first down and run on second instead of the other way around.
Unless it's second and long.
Unless it's second and 10, because that's automatically a running down for Gary Kubiak and his little tight sphincter.
Paul hates Gary Kubiak.
I just hate guys like that. I hate guys that bury their face in the play sheet. You know the guys that call, like, Jason Garrett? Like, third and six.
Right,
Swiss
right,
by
right.
third and six plays. Like, do you ever think Bill Belichick would say, you know, I need the play sheet here. What are we going to... Maybe I give Belichick too much credit. Maybe I'm guilty of that. I just don't think that he operates like, I need that sheet in front of me. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, watch him on Sunday and watch how many times you see him with that play sheet.
Well, he's the play caller.
There's a lot of guys that call plays. Did you ever see Andy Reid bury himself in a play sheet? Mike McCarthy? Like, you never see his face the whole game?
Well, not the whole game, but...
That's what these guys do the whole game.
Yeah. I'm going to have to watch this.
Anyway, I think the bigger change...
I think you hate Gary Kubiak, and no matter what he did...
The bigger change game plan-wise, I think, is on Wade Phillips' shoulders. he's a very aggressive defensive coordinator. I know that's how he plays. They blitz a lot. And I think if you blitz a lot against Tom Brady, you're going to give up a lot of plays. You're going to make some, but you're going to give up a lot. And I think he can't just sit there and say, this is what I do. I blitz, and we're going to get there. I think that they should have, Andy, you can disagree with me if you want, but I think they should have the makings of guys with Watt and Antonio Smith and maybe Brooks Reed, if he's as good as Peter King thinks he is. Shouldn't they be able to get some pressure without having to rush more than four guys?
Certainly.
You would think so.
So, and I'm not saying never blitz. You know, third and 11, don't stand there. Don't drop eight in coverage and expect Tom not to find somebody. But you have to pick your spots a little bit. I think Wade Phillips is one of those guys. I'm blitzing. That's what I do. And I think if he does that, Brandon Lloyd's going to catch a bomb again for a touchdown when, really, that's the only time all year he was able to do that was against Houston. When you get wide open down, you know, in the middle of the field. I think they need to change their game plan a little bit defensively and figure out what they want to do. And they're going to have to do something. I mean, I could see, like, Joseph taking Welker out of the game. Or not out of the game, but you know what I'm saying. Taking him and they're going to have to figure out how to double the tight end. So how to get extra guys in the middle of the field on Hernandez and Gronkowski to make sure that they don't kill them. And, yeah, obviously you have to tackle really well. When you play the Patriots, they're going to throw the ball short of the sticks a lot. If you can tackle them, you can get off the field. If you can't, they rely a lot on yards after the catch.
AJ from the 302 writes in. He says, I just wanted guys to help spread the word of helping Brady win the FedEx Air Player of the Year on NFL.com. I know it's not that important, but I really want him to win it along with Adrian Peterson as Ground Player of the Year. We share the same first name. Also, during the season finale with the Dolphins, someone on the chat asked if the numbers on the jerseys were sewn on, and Fred responded with yes. Andy's mom sews them on. It was the most
Wait a minute. Do I need to start monitoring this curse words thing?
It was the most hilarious thing I've heard. Thanks for the laugh. Anyway, keep it up. You guys are the best.
What an a-hole. At least I always tell you when I'm making fun of you. I do it to your face.
Well, you were probably at the time, and I just figured, okay, I'll get him.
I'm going HR.
Please
talking
do.
About my mom.
Please do.
Please do.
Proceed. Parker says, what's
Wait,
up?
You should, I mean... Brady is up for the Air Player of the Year. You can go to NFL.com and vote. It's against Manning and Rodgers, I believe.
And I believe if he wins, there's a local charity, I forget which one, that gets $24,000.
Oh, so even better. It's charitable. Yeah. Now, I don't think Adrian Peterson needs any help voting. If he doesn't win it, then fans are dumber than Paul
thinks.
Should
be an investigation.
Yeah.
But Brady, I mean, that's a dogfight. That's New England fans need to exert their online power to help him win that one.
Hey, guys, what's up, says Parker. Nothing much here either. Well, what do you think of our screen game the last few weeks? I think Welker has finally figured out how to maximize it. I used to, like, get so mad because he's always seemed to make the wrong cut or would run too fast instead of waiting for the blocks to develop. He said breasts.
I'm always waiting for breasts to develop, too.
He said breasts.
what do you think?
I don't really agree with it.
The screen?
And I don't really agree that. I think sometimes Welker gets a little ahead of himself, and that, I think, stems from a lack of speed. I think anybody who doesn't have speed tries to anticipate and get ahead of themselves. Paul is waving his hand over there.
Raising my hand for my entire athletic career.
And I think guys that have it are willing to let the blockers develop in front of him and then kind of get the burst going. But I've never thought Welker was, you know, bad at screens. And, you know, Woodhead has hit some plays the last
Woodhead
couple
weeks.
Woodhead
has been really, really good the last 2 weeks on screens. I kind of agree with you, Fred. I think that they run maybe at times. I think they're guilty of running too many screens, but I think for the most part they're a pretty good screen team. Whether they're wide receiver screens or running back screens, I think they do a pretty good job
those
with
little
them.
Little slip screens.
Now, you know what's dangerous this week? J.J. Watt. You know, he gets in the backfield and then he's chasing you down behind, and we see what happens. He punched. That's a little extra thought when there's a player like him.
Even throwing the ball at or around the line of scrimmage to his side.
J.J. Swat.
Greg says, hey, Fred, do you think that Gerard Mayo is the best inside linebacker in the NFL? I think he might be the second best inside linebacker in the NFL.
Except he plays outside linebacker.
Patrick Willis is probably the best.
Not probably, he is.
Yeah.
Anyone who watched the Patriots game against the Niners here and just watched what Patrick Willis does all over the field and the way he covers and hits, and the man is a machine.
Yeah. And do you always think that he will be an impact? Do you think he'll be an impact in the Texans game? You better be. And what are your thoughts on Mayo? I just kind of did. All right. Thanks, Greg. Well thought out email.
If he's not an impact, if he doesn't have a good...
Why are you so mean?
Because he just can't help it. I mean, he takes shots at my mother on a blog when I don't even know what's going on.
Yeah, but is that a shot at your mother, saying that she sewed the
numbers on? It's a your mother joke. No matter what you say, if you say it, your mother pets kittens. Like, there's a little, you know, you're making a mother joke. Even though you don't get it, it's like the Cheerios thing. You don't really know what I'm saying, but I'm making fun of your mother.
Chris in Houston, I've been listening this week to you guys before I head off to work. I like the show. The Shaughnessy thing we find is comical. Oh, he's a Texans fan, by the way. And the overall feeling in Houston is worried and a little skeptical, but very hopeful. When Texans are clicking, we're clicking. Just hope we can bring it. The previous game, I feel we came in real conservative, just trying to not make any mistakes. And then three and out, bam, then another three and out. Before you knew it, 21-0. It was real intimidation, but hoping for redemption. You guys have a great day and best of luck Sunday.
I wish I could have asked a question to that Nick guy, ask him if they were going to use the jackets again.
I was thinking of asking that, but eh.
Why eh? People are interested in it. It's not like it matters in the game, but people are interested in it.
Okay.
Just looking at Mel Kiper's big board, he has number 8, that Markavius Bingo, a Mingo guy from LSU. We need to get him. We got Mingo.
You want to go to Steve on the phone now? He's waited long enough.
Luca,
are you running the show?
He gets mad when I do that.
Luca always emails in, and whether it's a he or a she, always thinks we're going to get killed. says, we're going to get crushed like grapes. The first game was all mistakes from the Texans, and the ball bounced our way.
It's true.
So,
I think that's a simplistic summation of a 28-point beatdown.
Brian writes in and says, there's a guy in Texas who is kind of their Shaughnessy.
No, I read this whole thing, and
I saw someone had a response.
It's totally sarcastic. Like, yeah. The guy, like, you just need to read
it. The guy
it.
Tried to respond. I heard them setting it up yesterday.
But it's like Patriots fans were trying to say that it was real. And, I mean, It couldn't have been more tongue-in-cheek the way he wrote it.
A guy named Sean Daniels from the Galveston Globe, so you can look it up.
Yeah, I heard them talking about it yesterday.
Let's see. Glenn writes in, how confident are you in Tlaib and Dennard after missing a few weeks? Do you think they'll be healthy enough to go full force?
Yes, I do think they'll be healthy enough. I have my concerns. I have my concerns about Andre Johnson and them, you know, trying to get the ball down the field. Or, you know, Tlaib was big on the rust, and if you peek in the backfield when he got here, well, now you a couple weeks of rust here against a play-action team. Right. You could peek in the backfield, and Andre Johnson could be dancing in the end zone.
So you're saying that you're not as concerned about them physically, but you are concerned about their play.
Yeah, I thought they were building something.
If Andre Johnson goes out and catches 8 for 140 yards, you're not going to necessarily say it's related to health.
No.
Now, you might watch it and see Tlaib running around,
grabbing his hip
again and limping, and we'll say, well, yeah, clearly he wasn't 100%.
But I think there's a good chance if you peek and Johnson blows by you, even though we're talking about Schaub, he's got a better chance of completing that than Ryan Tannehill does to Brian Hartline.
True. True.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Steve is in Toronto. Hey, Steve.
Hey.
Hey there, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
Hey, Steve.
Excellent. Actually got a bit of a background playing on you here, but just wanted to give a shout out to Kevin Fink for sticking up for me there and just putting me forward. But Fred, gotta say, just in terms of the Grey Cup, my friend, it has been played for 100 years. First in 1909, and we kind of missed two for the war, and then once on a rule dispute. But that was quite a while ago, obviously, that you had that conversation, and I just wanted to clarify that for you.
What did I say, that the Grey Cup is...
You were very disparaging of the Grey Cup a while back. Okay. I remember that. I don't remember the details, but I do remember it.
Okay.
Well, he was just doubting the 100th year, that was all.
Yeah, he called
BS. I don't think that they played 100 years, but you're correct. That was quite a little while ago, but and also just wanted to mention...
Was it always football?
I'm sorry?
Was it always football that they played?
No, it was actually supposed to be designated as a senior hockey championship, but Earl Grey took his time.
Right.
Yeah, the Governor Grey took his time getting it together, so it ended up being called the Allen Cup instead.
Right.
And the Grey Cup was then designated as football.
That was my confusion.
It's so old. It was the White Cup when it started.
Oh.
So the 1909 one, was that football?
That was actually rugby.
Oh, okay. So
the rugby rules.
So it is football.
But the first American style football, actually, when you look back, was actually played between McGill and Harvard back in 1874.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that.
Well, they like to say that the soccer game that was, you know, was being played back at, like, what was it, Princeton?
Yeah, they like to say that too, but really it was Tufts.
Yeah. But just also wanted to add that Angelo Mosca, the cane that has gotten so much play on the show, was auctioned off for $7,700 during the Grey Cup.
Okay.
And that money actually ended up going to the Alumni Association for at-risk or severely needy veterans.
All right. Well, thanks, Steve. Thanks
all right,
for that.
Well, can I just also add, I just wanted to actually say, Andy and Paul, I do.
Yes.
I know your pain. I actually carry a bog roll in my car. And also, J.J. Watt, why has there been no discussion about this guy so far?
Ooh,
thanks, guys.
Okay.
Have a great week.
What does he carry in his car?
What roll?
Why didn't you ask him?
A log roll? Yeah. Something to do with if you have to go to the bathroom, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I don't need that. It was a one-time thing. I'm 44 years old. Happened once. Andy, it happens.
I'm 34. It happens every other year.
Andy, it happens once every radio show.
Why is there no talk of J.J. Watt?
Yeah, I'm not sure where that's coming from. J.J. Watt is
yeah. I mean,
huge.
I think we've talked about him so much that now we try to look at other things, too.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to just overemphasize just J.J. Watt.
I mean,
but he's good enough to do that. I mean,
yeah.
He certainly, we've talked about he leads their team in tackles. He leads them in sacks. He leads them in passes defense. He's the first guy with the 15 sacks, 15 passes defense, 93 tackles for a loss or plays behind for a loss. I mean, the endless, he does it all for them. We've kind of talked about
every
him.
Year it seems like we play these really good edge rushers that have a lot of sacks and they have these statistics and – this, by far, this guy is the most well-rounded, impactful player that I've seen out of all of these guys. And I'm going back, you know, like Dwight Freeney in his heyday, Jason Taylor, you know, all of these guys. And I'm not saying Watt is has a better career than – he's a second-year guy. We'll wait and see what happens, you know, when he moves on. But Andy just talked about all the different things he does. I never remember worrying about Von Miller and Elvis Dumervil, Sean Merriman, or any of these guys playing the run, playing the pass, knocking passes down,
I would
and
say
doing
the only
all
guy,
these different things.
The only guy who's close is Jason Taylor. I think he was pretty close as a well-rounded
But it was all about
player.
Getting
but to
play.
But to me, it was all about court.
See, I don't think so. See, I think he had a knack. I think he would cover screens. I think he would bat
I'm
down passes.
Oh, he might do
I think
that,
he played
but
the
I'm
run.
The talk of him was all about getting to Brady.
I think
oh,
you
okay.
See, I think –
Well, if you're just going to go by
I'm
ignorant
with you.
Analysts,
yeah.
I mean – You're not
going
to see the diversity of his play.
I think that he picked off a screen pass or two in his day, but I think that most of his plays came as a result of him getting after the quarterback.
But you don't think much of Jason Taylor. You thought he was the most overrated player.
This guy plays the run, I think, every bit as well as he plays the pass, and I don't think Jason Taylor did that.
He's all over the field.
I know.
He's got the – you remember Zach Thomas from the Dolphins?
No.
You know, sideline to sideline guy. I mean, this is – he's doing this from, like, the defensive end position.
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
He's very good.
But
we don't talk about him.
Alan from Scotland writes in, this week Dan Shaughnessy described this matchup against the Texans by saying that the Patriots are the first team in NFL history to have back-to-back bye weeks. This resulted in the people of Houston to be outraged, and Arian Foster changed his Twitter avatar accordingly. Last year, Paul described our matchup against the Broncos as a double bye for the Patriots. Nobody in Denver batted an eye. Is this because the people in Denver agreed with him, or is it because nobody takes anything Paul says seriously?
Just so you know, I wasn't the only one. I didn't invent that. I wasn't the only one that said that last year.
And it was actually fact, not opinion.
And I don't think anybody in Denver disagreed, and that's why no one batted an eye.
Not even John Elway.
Probably because no one heard him say it.
Well, I was like, again.
Why are you going to mock us?
It wasn't a PFW in progress originated.
Anyway, I don't.
Yeah, Dan Shaughnessy is the only one who didn't remember that when he wrote, "This is the first time ever there was a double bye." I mean, it was actually last year, Dan.
Right. Anyway, I don't think this will be a walkover that Paul thinks it'll be. A lot of things happened in the last game that you just can't count on happening again. A few bounces that go another way, and it's a totally different game. We'll have to be on our game, and Gronk will be key against that D. A healthy Ninko and Talib will be huge for us. It's Allen and Scotland. You guys have just checked out.
Here's my question. And I understand that there was a fumble here and there and plays to be made. But what happened in the last game that won't happen in this game?
They fumble on the 2-yard line and it turns into a 7-yard touchdown a play later. Like, I don't think that happens very often.
Okay, well, what else? You know,
I think if you get the ball punched out downfield more often than not, it doesn't turn into a touchdown.
Okay.
I think those turn into turnovers.
I understand.
And you say,
wasn't there a couple
crap.
Early pass interference calls that went their way?
Understanding that.
Yeah, wasn't that the one where Welker?
Right.
Yeah, got
it
like
was,
barely.
Even
touched.
I said it was a bad call.
Yeah,
right.
I mean that's. I find that hard to believe. That's going to happen in the postseason. That you're going to get that cheap of a call like that.
Right.
So I mean, that's three big plays right there that I think
there was a million. Everybody that's talking about all the different plays that went the Patriots' way are absolutely right. There were a lot of plays that went the Patriots' way, but what I'm saying is not necessarily. Listen, if the Patriots turn the ball over 2 or 3 times, of course it's going to be a. The Patriots are going to be hard pressed to win. But what I'm saying is more often, you know, like, for example, the Woodhead fumble was the tail end of an 80-yard drive that he's running down the side. I think it's a fluke that you fumbled the ball more than it's a fluke that it was recovered in the end zone for a touchdown, you know, for that particular play specifically. I think the Patriots' passing game is hard to defend, and they've gotten a lot of third down penalties this year, and I expect that to continue because I think they're hard to deal with. I think they have a lot of different options, and it's hard to cover everybody.
Yeah, see, I agree with that, but I don't think they're going to get the cheap call like that. Those could become less in the postseason. We've talked about it a million times about how whether they tell Cruz to kind of let it play a differently or Cruz just do whatever, I don't think you get that cheap call.
What do you think about, speaking of Cruz, what do you think about the league's way of doing it where instead of keeping crews together in the playoffs, they come up with these all-star crews?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think
I'm a little
stupid.
Torn.
Don't
I'm
you
a little
think
torn.
That's dumb.
On some level,
I'm
yes.
I'm totally torn on it.
And I think that's one of the reasons why maybe the calls are down is because guys don't want to, like, stand out at all, you know?
I just don't know. I've never been an official, so I don't know how much grading individuals and then putting them together is fair compared to grading a crew and saying we work as a unit to get all the calls right.
Right.
I can't really.
Paul, you're torn on that?
No. Well, do you want the best individuals at every spot or do you want the best crew?
I want the best crew.
Why?
Because over the course of the season, they got graded after each game better than the other crew.
But maybe that line judge was the fifth best.
I look at it as a whole. It's the game as a whole.
So
you
believe that the best individuals can't make the best crew?
I don't know. Because
that's where I have no – I've never officiated the game.
I don't know.
What I would wonder is
why don't
they do – and I don't know how they do it. Perhaps, you know, maybe they do. But why wouldn't you say, okay, now we've graded these individuals out to be the best. Are they a crew next year? Because that's what I would do. I would take the best individuals – based on whatever the grading system is,
and
put them together, you know, maybe at halfway.
Yeah, but now you're, like, knowingly sending really bad crews.
Well, I guess that's probably why they don't want to do it, but find
you're
a
sending
way.
The Jaguars of referees to, like,
can
a lot of games.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine how bad these games would be officiated if you actually had, you know, a crew that they deemed to be bad?
Well, we saw it in the first half of the season.
No. The real refs.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that. It makes sense for the Super Bowl and the playoffs. It makes perfect sense. You take your best. Next year, you make them a crew, and you know you're like the Miami Heat. You put together the best. You let them play out. But
what about the other games? I'm torn because
I can see both sides.
Do you
knowingly pick them for good games? Like, you know, Brady versus Manning next year on the schedule. Do you say, okay, we're going to send the A crew to that, kind of like the networks do? And do the crap teams always get the crap officials and crap games?
I wonder how they do that.
I would hope it's random, no?
I don't know.
They put them in a hat?
Yeah. They might.
I would hope that's the way it is.
I hope in order to keep the integrity, there shouldn't be any other decision-making involved. You know, these guys call more pass interference, well, let's put them in Brady's game.
Right. Yeah,
I hope not.
I would hope it's totally random.
Jesus, even I wouldn't take it to that level.
No, but
I mean,
what other
about,
criteria would there be other than just
But if
random?
You have a crew that's considered to be better, would you want them to be at the bigger games in a particular week? I don't think there's anything impropriety there. Whatever.
The national games, you know, maybe.
Well, they're all national games, but I'm talking about Andy brought it up, and I think it's an interesting point. If Brady and Manning are playing that week, do you want your best crew there? I don't think there's anything wrong with that if you're the NFL.
But it's telling other games, like, you don't matter as much.
They don't.
I know, but I don't know if you can do that.
Well, you know, based on that, why do we have? I mean, we put them on in different windows and stuff. You're saying, but you're acknowledging by doing that that some games are bigger than others.
The league isn't really like
sure they
the
are.
TV networks are. This is a big game, so we're putting it on in primetime. The league thinks they all matter because you don't know who's going to be good. So, okay, I'm the Niners. I've suddenly flicked a switch with Jim Harbaugh, and I'm a good team, but I consistently am getting the worst officiating in the National Football League because they thought we were going to suck.
No, I'm not saying that they should do that. I'm wondering if they do it.
They shouldn't.
That's what I'm wondering.
The NBA would. I'm hoping the NFL wouldn't.
Scott writes in, Fred, your personal honesty about things most of us would be embarrassed to talk about is refreshing. Can we call you the junk man? Andy, not to be looking for minutia on a playoff week, but I clearly remember you telling us that when we got Daniel Fells that we had the third best tight end of any team in the league.
No. The best third tight end. That sentence matters the way you word that.
even though I think it was ridiculous then and I think it's ridiculous now, he's right. That sentence changes meaning.
Before we took Ballard off the waiver wire, who potentially then became the third best tight end by knocking Fells to the fourth best tight end? Until we got Shanko, who would then be the fifth best tight end,
Shanko
and Winslow,
sucks.
Who was then the sixth best tight end after we took
Manahano. I think Daniel
Fells
is better than those two. I don't know about anybody else.
He was the seventh best tight end of any tight end in the league. What is your latest ranking, Andy?
Same as it was.
It can't be. He's done nothing.
That doesn't mean he couldn't do something.
Yeah, Fells has kind of been a disappointment, don't you think?
Well, I mean,
a disappointment is strong. What did you expect him to do? I mean, Andy had him as the best third tight end in football.
Maybe 10 more catches than he has.
10 catches.
Has he had 10 more opportunities?
No, but, and there's a reason why.
Why?
Because he's not that fast and he's doesn't get in the right position.
See, I think Manawa Nui's role has been a typical Belichickian role. He was versatile. He played fullback. He could do a bunch of different things they kind of wanted, needed. And because of that, his role has grown and he's gotten more opportunities. I think Fells is more of a strict tight end, and that's kind of pigeonholed his role.
Yeah, and I think injuries have slowed him down, too.
Yes.
Melvin in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Good.
Great.
Yeah, I just have one quick thing before I get into the main point, but about the blog and just the overconfidence, so-called, of Patriots fans is the funniest thing I think I've ever seen. I'll never forget the last game when we played the Texans, after the first little run by Foster. Somebody commented and said, oh, it's going to be a long day for this defense. Somebody else right after this, oh, we'll never win a Super Bowl. Yada, yada, yada. He goes,
yeah, but that was Fred.
I said it's one play.
That's unbelievable,
it's
isn't
one
it?
One play. Oh. It is. I don't know how you deal with it, Fred.
Oh.
I mean, I really don't. It is so funny.
Fred just chastises everybody.
And makes fun of my mother, apparently.
That's what he does.
Oh, and then it's 21-0, and I'm looking back on that. And like, I knew we'd win.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll beat them out. Right? Literally, maybe 5 minutes after that, they're just all on. You can't even find what Fred is saying because everybody's commenting, yay this and yay that.
And Melvin,
every negative play.
I only publish like a fraction of the comments that come in. You should see them all. It's like hundreds that come in, but, I can't publish them all, obviously. But some of the people are just like way off the deep end. It's unbelievable. They're talking about next year's draft, and
it's crazy. It's serious. And if as long as I've been down here, and if the Titans fans, if they get a first down, they're almost they're jumping for joy.
Sure.
And I'm like, how can you have a team like that and be so negative and down and just plain right stupid? I mean, it's almost dumb to me to actually believe this stuff off of one play.
Yeah.
It is one 15-yard play that they were just, I mean, it wasn't even like you said, it wasn't one. It was about 10 or 15 people, and I was like, wow, one play.
Right.
Wow. I mean, it's really funny to look at. But anyway, on to the main point. Like I said, as far as like the pass rush and stuff goes, I think I've noticed that I've even noticed like, Justin Francis more and even Trevor Scott and kind of Pamela Jones falling into the background. But one of the most confident things I have about this game is not only Vince Wilfork couldn't be blocked, but a lot of them, they couldn't handle them. From offense to the offensive line did a nice job of blocking them, I thought, for the most part. And the defensive line was just getting through. And I think, like I said, as long as you win that battle in the trenches, if they can replicate that, well, they're not going to have any problems in this game. But do you all see that do y'all have just as much confidence now with, let's say, a third down and 10 with Justin Francis and Trevor Scott providing the pass rush just as effectively as Chandler Jones was maybe in the beginning of the year? Or do y'all still want to go with Chandler Jones? Like, what do y'all feel as far as our defensive end and stuff like that?
You know, I think in spots, you know, Francis and Scott, but I think, yeah, I'd rather go with Jones. I think he's faster.
I thought he looked good the last game and a half. Especially the last game, I thought he looked more energetic, maybe a little healthier. I don't know how the ankle's feeling. But, yeah, I'm not to the point where I'm willing to. Their depth has improved. I feel good that those guys are now contributing, but I still am worried about Ninkovich's health. It's not like I say, well, if Ninkovich isn't healthy, they'll just throw Francis out there and they'll be fine.
Right.
I don't feel that way at all.
No, and, you know, I always – Jarvis Green is like my prototypical spot rusher who gets those sacks in times where – you know, the other team has got one foot on the bus or whatever, or, you know, they're desperate.
But no, he had a few big ones.
No, he did.
There were times where he would pop up, but that's because he would pop up.
Right.
You didn't count on him.
And that's where how I look at Scott.
Diminishing
returns.
At this
point, Francis, I mean, Francis is young. He could develop into a more regular player. But at this point in his career, he and Scott, those are those spot guys that, in you know, can pop up. But you put them out there every play, and they're going to be neutralized.
They'll get eaten up.
Yeah.
But I do expect...
Thanks, Melvin.
I thought Melvin's right. I thought for the most part the Patriots did control the lines in the last game.
Yeah, I agree.
Except J.J. Watt, and that's a big if. And I just like I assume J.J. Watt's going to make some plays, I assume Vince Wilfork is going to have a big game. I assume he's going to be a force for them to deal with.
He's a big guy that I heard a lot about going into that game, didn't know a lot about him, is Antonio Smith. And I didn't notice him at all in that first game. I didn't see him do much. So I can only assume that Ryan Wendell and Dan Conley and Logan Mankins took him out. And, you know, I thought that he was a guy that needed to sort of help because you knew that J.J. Watt was going to get all the attention, and he did. But he needs to do something on the other side, and I'm not sure that he's as good as the numbers indicate. Because what did he have for stats, Andy?
He has impressive numbers.
He was number two behind Watt for sacks, right?
He has
with
impressive
a decent
numbers
amount.
For a nose tackle type.
Am I wrong on that? I just
no,
overlook
him. I'm pretty sure. No, he didn't do much last time.
Yeah, that's
and
what I meant.
He was very vocal about, you know, the whole team getting their ass whooped and.
You know, there was no, you know, that was a bad game. You know, we got our butts whooped and we need to look in the mirror and all that stuff. He's number one on that list, I think, because it can't be one guy. Maybe that's why Wade Phillips feels like he has to blitz. Maybe no one can get there, and they're all Watt products of Watt.
Watt.
All right, let's. Time for the picks. It's that. It's Thursday, and Eric's not coming back, is he?
We
don't need to wait for him.
No.
Shouldn't you be reading something?
Oh yeah, Subway Fresh. It's the always the picks. Is that how it goes? Something like that? Oh, no, here comes Kevin with my...
Subway team. Fresh, it's always the picks.
Something like that.
This week's PFW in Progress picks are sponsored by Subway Restaurant. Subway, the official training restaurant of the New England Patriots.
Well, it was a feast or famine week, Fred, last week in the wild card round.
And Andy and Paul bellied up to the table.
If you were Andy and Paul, it was a feast fit for a king. If you were... Andy, I mean, and Fred or Eric, more so Fred, you were left wanting more.
Yeah, 1-3 I was.
We pick all the games winners, and we pick all the games with a spread.
So there's actually
Fred,
8.
Andy went 4-0 picking the games. I went 4-0. Eric went 3-1, just nothing to hang your head about.
Nope.
And Fred went 1-3, picking winners of games now, 1-3.
I think Fred's making a paper airplane.
With
there.
The spread... Andy again went 4-0, as did I. Eric went 2-2, and Fred went 0-4. 0-4.
It's embarrassing.
0.0, Mr. Blutarski.
Yeah, a couple things didn't go my way.
So 8-0 for Andy.
About 7.
1-7 for Fred on the weekend. So good start for Andy and I at undefeated so far. We'll see if we can keep it going into the divisional round.
Been there, done that.
This week's games... I think are better, should be better games than last week.
You think?
Yeah, I would
think.
Since
the best teams in football are now playing?
But you never know. Let's start with Baltimore at Denver. Baltimore
Denver by 9. Evidently, it's supposed to be cold in Denver, right?
And
Manning doesn't have a lot of games played in cold weather.
That's okay, because he's still better than Joe Flacco. I will take the Denver Broncos to win at home
I think they're a good balanced football team. You know, our friend Nick Scherfield was talking about how Texans top 10. Well, they're top. The Broncos are top 5 in both, not just top 10. And that's a more impressive accomplishment. And I will, though, take the points because of the weather, playoff game. I think Ravens going to make some plays. I think that's too big a number to lay. So I'll take the points, but I think the Broncos win. And I think the Broncos control the game.
Eric has made his picks already. He wrote them in the book. So I will just say that he takes Baltimore to pull the upset in Denver. I am going to echo Andy's thoughts. And I feel like Baltimore is a team to be taken seriously right now. And I do think, as much as I defended Peyton Manning yesterday on the radio, I do think that there is an element of jitteriness to him in big spots, particularly that first playoff game. I think once he gets that win under his belt, he's a little bit different. But I do feel like he plays a little uptight in big games in the playoffs. So I could see them getting off to maybe a little bit of a slow start. And Baltimore has a little bit of a swagger back. But I do think there's so much better than Baltimore. They just obliterated them on the road a couple of weeks ago. Now they get to play them at home. I think Denver wins the game, but Baltimore covers.
I'm with you, Paul, and I know that teams always poo-poo it, but I do think that that thin air is a factor, and I think you're going to see Manning going hurry up early. And I think by the second half, I think guys like Nada and Lewis are going to be a little winded, and they're going to be a little bit slower, and all it takes is that one step, and I really think that you're going to see Denver pull away in the second half. But I think, you know, just to hedge my bet, I'm going to take those points.
Me too. I actually think Denver could blow them out, but as you said, I'm kind of hedging my bet and being safe.
I think Baltimore is going to have the last score to get within 9.
So backdoor cover.
Backdoor cover.
Okay.
I need a backdoor cover.
Makes sense to me. So we're all taking Denver except for Eskal. I'm surprised because he loves to travel, so I would think he'd be rooting for the Broncos. But all right.
Well, he might be rooting for the Broncos. Yeah. Who knows?
Well, he doesn't think you're going to get a chance to travel because didn't he say that the Texans would end the Patriots season?
Oh, that's true. That's true. Well, when I fire him, he'll have to get a job with the team that travels.
Can we do that, actually?
Kevin like that.
I'd like that.
I just want to know if it was a possibility.
He could be a travel agent. As long as he doesn't work here, I don't care what he does.
Green Bay at San Francisco.
In my opinion, the game of the weekend.
Okay.
The Niners by 3.
This is an interesting matchup. Old school defense, high octane offense that I don't think, I know they've gotten their swagger back. I still don't think it's as good as when they're at their best, even though Rodgers is, you know, an MVP and putting up numbers, blah, blah, blah. I'm getting lots of nods and shakes from Paul Perillo as I make various comments, the stamp of approval and not so much.
No, I'm agreeing with you.
But I'm still a little hesitant on Colin. You want to say it, Fred?
Calling what?
Kaepernick?
Colin Kaepernick. I have my doubts about him, and I am going to go with the upset on the road because I think Justin Smith not going to be at full strength, and we've seen how valuable he is to that defense. He, you know, I knew he made Aldon Smith. I told Paul that earlier in the year, but I didn't know he made the entire defense.
And he's such a fraud.
I'm going to take the Packers to win that. I think the been there, done that, the quarterback, all that, they get it done.
Okay.
Eric likes San Francisco in this game.
Oh, in this game. Frisco.
I, too, am going to echo Andy again. I think Green Bay is a better team. I think San Francisco has every opportunity to win this game. They are at home. They'll have a little bit more time. Looks like Justin Smith is going to play. He's been practicing, hasn't been limited. They do have a kicker issue there in San Francisco that I think would be concerning. They're making a move.
To the
guy who's not exactly trustworthy.
To the Super Bowl.
In Cundiff. But I just think that Green Bay is a better team. And now, when they played in Lambeau in week one, it was not a contest. I mean, San Francisco just killed them in every facet of the game. I think it'll be different this time around. I think that Green Bay is going to put some points on the board early, and Kaepernick is going to make mistakes.
I'm going to assume that Justin Smith is close to where he was. And because of that, San Francisco defense at home beats Green Bay.
I hope you're right.
Okay.
I hope you're right because I'd like to see the discount double check go down.
Okay.
I hope you're right, because I want to see the NFC West NFC title game, because Paul says that division stinks.
Speaking of Seattle.
And that'll make him great.
Seattle.
We don't judge it by what happens on the field.
Seattle.
Well, I never said San Francisco wasn't worthy of being a Super Bowl contender, by the way. Seattle would be the team that.
Well, they're one of the hottest teams out there right now. Seattle at Atlanta.
Doesn't surprise people who read the Wilson Hart Power
Index. Atlanta by 2.5.
Seattle goes on the road, the number one team in the Wilson Hart Power Index from the regular season. They play defense. They get after Matt Ryan. They are physical. Mm-hmm. They run the football. They do everything that Atlanta doesn't want to see coming into their home field when they're trying to earn respect and build a reputation. And the Seahawks upset Matty Ice Melt. I like that name, whoever gave that to him. And the Atlanta Falcons. And Mike Smith, people start to really question him.
Eric takes Atlanta at home. This is a game that I feel like I can't lose, because no matter who wins, I will be my obnoxious, arrogant self after the game.
We know that.
I'll tell you that Atlanta was the paper tigers I said they were all along.
Right.
And if Seattle loses, I'll be able to use Andy's little NFC West thing right back at him. So as long as the other team's quarterback gets hurt, you can find a way to squeak by in one playoff game. I'm going to take Atlanta. And the reason why I'm going to take Atlanta is they've been waiting for this game all year. They've been telling everybody all year how much no one thinks that they're any good. If they lose this game at home,
no one's going to think they're any
good. I'm sorry.
Right.
That's it. If you don't win this one, you just they're nothing.
Yeah.
This is a game that they absolutely positively. Chris Clemens being out for Seattle
right.
is huge.
That's a huge,
huge
loss
for them.
Yep.
If they don't find a way to win this game, I mean, even Seattle's kicker is hurt. I'm sorry, Atlanta. This is a put up or shut up game, and I'm going to take Atlanta. I don't feel really good about it.
Yeah,
I don't. And the good part is, Andy, is one of us will not be undefeated anymore. For sure, because this is the first game that we have differed on.
I'm with Paul. I'm going with Atlanta in this game.
Agreeing with Paul.
Not overly confident, but
the odds is going to go 1-3 again.
Paul said it. If Atlanta doesn't win this game,
if not now, when? Ian?
Right,
never.
That's what I would say.
But I'll tell you, this will be an interesting game. I can't wait for all.
The other
of these
part
games.
Of it is, I think
when's that game?
Russell Wilson did not play very well last week. He's being considered as to play this great game, and I just didn't see it. He threw two passes right into the chest of defensive backs in the end zone for Washington. He fumbled a ball that Marshawn Lynch runs by and scoops up with one hand to avoid disaster. I think he was okay, but I don't think he played anywhere near as well as anybody. Like Boomer Esiason was just gushing about him on Monday morning. I didn't see it. I didn't see that play. And I think that they could be in some trouble.
This is Sunday at 1, this game, Seattle at Atlanta.
So that stinks because we really can't watch it.
During the pregame social.
All right, so now we get to the final game of the weekend. Houston at New England, 4:30.
Pats by 9.5.
Biggest spread of the weekend, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
By a half point.
Yep.
Not really that big a deal. I am going to take the New England Patriots. I think they're the better football team, and I am probably, like so many people, swayed by what I saw the last time the Texans came to town. And also what I saw from Matt Schaub last weekend. I can't pick Matt Schaub to come on the road in New England, divisional round, and get the job done. Until, you know, I talked about it earlier, until he proves it to me, I'm not just going to assume it's going to happen. And because of that, you know, I think the Patriots know their challenges. Don't let J.J. Watt ruin the game, and don't let Arian Foster ruin the game. And, you know, they're good against the run, so Vince Wilfork, check, take that challenge off the board. And I've been pretty impressed with the offensive line for the most part of the year, so I'm going to say, we'll see Watt make plays. We'll see him, and he's going to stand out because he's that damn good. But he won't ruin the game. You won't see two strip sacks that they recover that all of a sudden sway the game. And I think the Patriots will move the ball on that secondary. I still think they're susceptible to the pass. And, I mean, we saw last week A.J. Green got behind Jonathan Joseph. Brady doesn't miss that. Brady makes touchdowns out of plays like that. If you get a chance, Brady makes you pay for it for the most part. And, therefore, I think the Patriots – postseason, you know, I rain down my scores and expectations in the postseason, but I am going to say Patriots 28, Texans 13.
By the way, Travis thinks that perhaps the refs get to choose their games based on seniority.
I don't care for that either.
Okay.
I like a hat. Just pull it out of a hat, or a computer version of a hat.
Okay. What does Eric say?
Eric says the Patriots will win the game.
Whoa. He told me like a couple weeks ago that the Patriots season ended in the postseason
in
at
Houston.
The hands of the Texans.
In Houston.
Oh, he's a fraud.
He is taking the points.
He's a dink.
He is predicting that Houston will cover. A lot of what Andy said I agree with. I know that you guys shot me down, and I'll agree to disagree. I don't think there's a lot of things that happened in the last game that I don't expect to happen again. I expect to see Patriots receivers open. I expect to see Tom Brady hot early, and I expect to see Arian Foster held well below what he normally gets. I don't think there was anything fluky about any of those elements. They got a couple of very fortunate bounces of the football. I don't expect the ball to be bouncing around in this game. I don't think the Patriots generally put the ball on the turf. I think that was as much of an anomaly in that game as not recovering them with the Patriots fumbling twice. They don't turn the ball over as a general rule. I don't think they'll do that in this game. And I just don't respect the overall makeup of that team. I respect a great deal the talent of the Houston Texans. I think they are a talented, talented football team that's just not playing very well right now. And I can't, you know, it's like Andy's old thing. They're not playing well until they play well. And then I'll be wrong. If they come in here and play a good game, I think it'll be game on and the Patriots will be in trouble. But I don't see that happening. Patriots 34-20.
I'm almost identical to Paul, 33-19 Patriots. So a 14-point win for the New England Patriots, which would be, of course, covering the 9.5-point
spread.
And
I personally don't think the game will be as close as that score. I think the Texans will get the last touchdown.
Wow. And then Fred will be going to the Rocky Mountains, right? Hanging out with... Who's the guy you hang out with out there?
Did you see his little...
Yeah, it was extremely, you know.
Yeah.
You'll be hanging out with the Pats Patriots.
Unless Eric's right and Baltimore wins. And then Baltimore will be coming to Gillette.
When's the last time Eric was right?
Well, he's 3-1 last week.
Yeah, I was 4-0.
All right. That's it for this edition. Remember, the pregame social...
Apparently not.
What time are you starting on Sunday?
2:15, I would say. It's a 4:30.
Yeah,
4:30 game.
We could start at 2 or 2:15.
I like 2:15 because, in actuality, that does open up a little bit more late in the show to what's going on in terms of pregame warm-ups.
And it's really a 4:40 kickoff, by the way.
Oh, then definitely.
Yeah,
2:15. 2:15 Patriots pregame social. Be here, listening, interacting, postseason, ripping what, making fun of people. We want to have an active group.
All right, playbook's coming up. And we'll see you next Tuesday. A seven nation army couldn't hold me back. They're gonna rip it off. Taking their time right behind my back. And I'm talking to myself at night because I can't forget. Back and forth through my mind behind a cigarette.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.